want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Okay, first,
la la la.
How are you today?
Me?
You, yeah. you, Mike, not you the listener, not you Buzz,
right.
Not you Rob. You, Mike, how are you today?
I'm wonderful.
Fantastic.
I couldn't be any better.
Fantastic, though.
I'm a little sore.
Sore?
Why?
The pepper stuff that I drank. Oh, a little tender.
Oh, how long did the fast officially last?
Well, you know that big thing that I drank yesterday?
Uh-huh.
After I finished that, I haven't gone back. And I had pancakes this morning.
The fast lasted for 4 hours.
I was making homemade
pancakes. And I get to drive home.
I was making homemade pancakes for my kids and ate pancakes with them. You know, they had the little silver dollar ones, and I made full size for me, three.
Sure.
With just
short stack.
Just a little butter.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And real maple syrup.
Grade B?
It was lovely.
What? Is it grade B maple syrup?
No.
Oh. Grade A with all the bad stuff inside. Yeah.
Grade A. And last night, I did not eat a dinner. I that was my dinner. I just had a little trail mix. with not many M&Ms in it, though.
Oh, good. Ate around them?
But I think the combination of the trail mix and the cayenne pepper caused me a bit of distress that seems to have gone away.
And the pancakes on top of that.
And the pancakes.
I was telling you in the office, you were telling me this before the show, I kind of knew that you were in some kind of distress down there.
Yeah.
That I thought it was this fasting thing, it was a way to flush the toxins out.
Yeah.
So
I talked to Hefe on my way out last night, and I said, can this be used as like a meal supplement?
Oh, and he will be so disappointed.
I know.
That already, not even one day.
Here's the deal.
Was he even able to talk about it on his show last night?
I don't know, but I
some cross-pollination?
All I know is that because of the reaction, because it burns down there,
I
don't think I'll be revisiting that.
Do it burn twice?
No, well, yeah, I had a little indigestion last night.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So I took a couple of Pepcid ACs, and then this morning woke up to, the first one was normal, the fourth and fifth.
Yeah.
We're not.
Okay.
We're hurting.
Okay.
Pain and burning.
Didn't he warn you about that at first, though? Yeah. Like, there might be
some... Dr. Alex Hefe?
The only thing he told me was number one, a lot.
Oh.
But I drink a lot of water during the show, so that happens anyway. But this was...
Any burning there?
No, never.
Okay, good.
Never, but...
Okay, so you're okay.
Yeah.
You're okay, right?
I'm great.
Okay.
I am. I'm good.
All right, making sure.
Yes.
You were a little Rick Dees at the front when you said, how are you today?
You're going to have a good day today? That's something that we Americans do. I think it's uniquely American. If you're in a foreign country and you're speaking to somebody who doesn't understand language, you do that thing. You speak louder.
Yes.
When you're talking to an old person, you speak louder and slower. And when you're talking to someone who you believe emotionally, they're inside, their emotional psyche could be a fireball, then you speak like that, almost like you speak to a little boy.
Well, I'm fine.
I know you're fine.
I'm fine.
See, I know because I asked him in the office before the show today.
My kids are fine. We watch Fear Factor together. And, you know, that's just a great family show.
Yeah.
Well, you're the family picking it. I mean, you're the parental unit picking it.
Yeah, I am.
So,
I am.
Yeah. So,
no, I mean, it was just, they like the Fear Factor. And,
no, there's nothing. I would let my kids watch Fear Factor.
You know, kissing cockroaches, eating bugs, they're into that.
Sure. Right. You know what it's called, Mike? I used to say it for years when Bart was a kid. It's called babysitting.
Yep.
It's even though they're your kids, it's called babysitting.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're small enough where I sit in a big leather recliner, and I got one on the right side, one on the left side, and then the last commercial break before the end of the show is jammy time. They go up and they get their jammies, and then once you give them that end time, well, as soon as this is over, it's bedtime. It's the easiest bedtime in the world.
And, you know, I don't have contact with little kids now because my little one is 19 and a half, but I guess it was yesterday I was on the phone with Rob. He's on the speakerphone, and Robert, who I love, is on the phone, and Rob says, hey, Robert, say hi to Don. He says, hi, Don, and first thing he said, Toy Story 2.
Toy Story 2.
Toy Story 2.
Right.
First thing he said.
If I could set an alarm on every DVD player in the house, I would have Toy Story 2 running on loop at 7 a.m., every morning because there's tense moments between feet hitting the floor mm-hmm. and getting to the television when Toy Story 2 is not on.
Well, with my 9-year-old now, Spider-Man 2, the video game on GameCube, on GameCube is, I mean, seriously, I don't know how many hours, and maybe I'm a bad parent for that, but, you know, she doesn't do it a lot. She dug it. And
Mike,
listen,
you're not a bad parent, and I'll tell you why, because there are bad adults. If you're like me, and incidentally, countdown to Madden 2005.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think it's less than a month until it's released now. Just as I'm finally mastering Madden 2004,
right.
They have that thing where you go to your EA bio,
right.
And this is the worst thing I think they could have ever put on this for anybody with a conscience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proudly up to, I don't know what level it is, like level 13, and this is just on this game. Time played, 11 days, 4 hours, 36 seconds.
Like combined? Like?
Do you mean when you say 11 days, do you mean 24 hours?
No, what I mean is, what it's done is, since I got that game, I've played it, and I've had it about a year. Total time, 11 days out of my life.
So if you, 11 times 24.
Right.
That's how many hours you've actually sat in front of the game.
264.
Correct.
Oh my God.
264 hours.
And from what I've been told, you know, because I'm an old man, because I'm a 45-year-old man, that's nothing. Talk to kids.
That, you know, days and days and days.
Yeah.
Is that actual time spent playing or just game clock time?
No, that's time spent playing. I mean,
the whole game is
from the time you turn it on. You know, it's like,
well,
you know,
it's not so bad.
It's like, you know, a half hour to play, and
a very long game.
Do you have any trouble with your speaking after you, you know, log one of your 8-hour sessions?
What?
Where you slur a little bit? You know,
before we start the show, as we're going to do one or two times a week because we are trying to go digital here and get rid of the tape cartridges.
Yes.
We're going to listen to just one or two tapes and decide if we want to keep them to put them into the new computer or if we need to get rid of them.
Great idea.
So here's one. I don't know if we need this or not. All I know is she's one sexy piece of ass. And I can say that in this new FCC environment.
I waited a long time to be able to express to the country.
Do you know who it is yet, Mike?
Monica Lewinsky?
Yeah, baby.
How very sorry I am for my part in this past year's ordeal. And
no, we don't need this, right?
See you later.
Of course, I've apologized in private.
All right, goodbye.
Take care. You're history, fat girl.
Goodbye. Oh, hold on a second. Here's Andy in California. Andy?
Hey, Don, I've actually got you beat on the video game time. I actually play the NCAA version, but I played for 21 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
And thank you for
21 days.
Hasn't affected his breathing.
Explains why he's out of breath.
Right.
The thing is, you play that Madden game so much. You play it so much. And then once you get better, you get to the next level. And then you go to the thing where it says EA Sports Bio. Well, you know, tell you how you're doing, how many games you've won.
It's incredible, though, that many days. I mean, that's amazing. And that speaks to the quality of the game.
And also the lack of a life on my part and everybody's. Now, this one just says Elvis.
Hmm.
Okay. Here's a tape.
Probably
I know Rob says keep it, but let's just listen to it.
He was the most caring person I've ever known. He was the most humorous person I've ever known.
And how does that jive with a person who refused to let your husband come home to see your new baby?
He was the most selfish person I've ever known.
They never see Elvis. It really could have been a tape, an intro for anybody on this show.
Yeah. Good right. Jettison it.
All right, that's a dead one.
Okay, goodbye.
Here's a good. Okay. Oh, what is this one? Something for, like we don't have enough tapes already from Jerry Maguire. What is this one?
I'm saying to get back to the guy who first started playing this game. Remember, way back when you were a kid, it wasn't just about the money, was it? Was it? Was it?
I say keep this because I'm just gay for this movie.
Don't you tell me to dance.
Fine.
Hey. I'm an athlete. I am not an entertainer. These are the ABCs of me, baby.
I got to keep that.
I do not dance, and I do not start preseason without a contract.
Fine.
Jerry, talk to me. Breathe, Jerry.
Sorry, sentimental favorite. I'll just throw in the flag on that one.
Jebby!
I love that one.
Breathe, Jebby!
But they never say Elvis.
No, they don't.
Was that Monica Lewinsky?
Here is one from the TV show Taxi.
If we didn't live in a society that got hung up on the fear of members of the same sex sharing mutual affection for each other, I kiss you full on the mouth.
Nope. No, I don't think so. As much as I love Taxi, I love Jim Ignatowski.
Okay, it's gone. There you go, Rob.
Bye.
And let's see, let's end with this one. From Hard Knocks, one of those football shows.
Yeah, it was on HBO.
This is the Cowboys cheerleaders coach.
You can't read that label.
This is good. That's right, because it has a bad word. On the label, it doesn't say cheerleaders. It says another nasty word, leaders.
Who labeled that?
I don't know. It looks like your handwriting, Rob.
Couldn't be mine.
And what? It's not cute?
We must have played it and discarded it.
Hold on a second.
Is it number six?
Yes, it is, as a matter
of fact. Try it in five.
All right, let's try it in five.
See?
Still re-queuing. Still re-queuing. Hold on, I wait for this to re-queue.
Uh-huh.
Hold on a second. Hello, Jackson in Reno. Jackson, hi.
D-O-N-I and Golden Boy.
Right, welcome to the pre-show.
Thank you very much. Level 57, EA Sports Gamer.
All right, Sean.
Wow. How many? Level 50, there are 57 levels?
It goes up indefinitely. Every game you get to, like NCAA 2005 football just came out, and as you play more EA Sports titles, it bumps you up. So,
What level are you at, Don?
On Madden, 11. And that's the only EA game I play. I mean, they've got this. Well, boy, this is going to turn like into a Spider-Man talk here if I tell you about all the
EA Sports. It's in the game.
Speaking of, I got something from Stanley. Hold on, let's see if this tape is ready.
You never miss a jump split.
That's it. Yeah.
No matter. What?
We're
you didn't drop
it.
Your palms together. Did y'all count wrong? You're still walking on your heels. It almost looks just like you have weak ankles. Pose on count one. That's just lack of thinking. Jump, split, down, and hit.
That's the keeper.
Man, I like that.
We're unanimous on that one, Rob.
You never miss a jump split.
That is a keeper. Do you have just a moment for a groaner?
Yeah, why not?
Sure.
Okay. I'll give you just one today because we're running so late. It's
very
only
good.
12 minutes out. Hello. Hello.
I thought you were going to do it in your normal voice.
I can't do it like that, Mike. Yeah. I mean, Mr. Drysdale.
Well, then I might as well be Milburn Drysdale.
And I'm Michael Scott Shannon, detective. What do you get? What would you get? What would you get if you crossed the new Will Smith movie with Sammy Davis Jr.?
What would I get if I crossed the new Will Smith movie with Sammy Davis Jr.?
Glass Eye Robot.
Hey, now.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right, yes, we are. And there she is.
Hello.
All right. That's Julia. Now, here is Rob.
A true story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of faith. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
I am so mad at my boys.
Why?
Well, we were rehearsing for the rally.
Yeah.
And they missed two jump splits.
You never miss a jump split.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Me Robot and all the ships at sea. They go together like great bee maple syrup and cayenne pepper.
Right on.
It's Todd Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right. Yeah.
Hello.
Hi there. Hi, and thank you for listening to this edition of the Don on Mike Show. A new one, a new edition on this Tuesday. New episode. It's July 20th, 2004.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, Buzz. Yeah, 7072004.
Right.
20-04. Mm-hmm. Call us from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From Canada, 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C. on WJFK, 202-432-1067. Those are the phone numbers. We don't give them a lot, so you got to pay attention.
Right.
Because to me, nothing sounds more desperate, even on a talk show that has a lot of listeners, than a guy that's constantly saying, lines are not open right now. Hold on, a line is open right now. Hell, you got to remember because our lines are jammed up already.
Have you experienced that yourself? Is that the way you feel? 555-5555. Have you had that problem? If you do, 555-5555.
And here's the thing that sounds the worst when you're going into a stop set.
Right.
I'm Carson Covey, coming back. We're going to be talking about this crazy, crazy war in Iraq. Now, Mike and Buzz and Rob are on hold. You stay there. We'll take your calls first coming out of the break.
Because we can't assure that we'll be getting any calls during the commercial break.
Or do what the Liddy Show used to do.
What's that?
If they didn't get the callers, they'd get their number and call them back on light.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, we could take a bunch of calls right here, but I see that the majority of the calls are from Austin, Texas, and they are from people who are righteously upset that the show is running on a one-day delay.
Yeah, well, who can blame them?
We really can't fight this one on the air. There's not a lot that we can do beyond what we've already said.
You should take those calls because I'm interested to know what happens on tomorrow's show.
It's stupid to run this show a day late. So why don't you, if you've got an afternoon show or whatever it is they're doing, put us on after that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Tape delay it after that.
Same better to broadcast the show after it's aired instead of, 24 hours after it's aired.
Right. Mm-hmm. So let's take one call from Austin, Texas, because we're getting a lot of calls there from that station. Here's Tab. Hey, Tab.
Oh. Time machine.
Time machine. Yeah, time right. Machine. Time machine.
I tell you, I live 100 miles north of Austin and 100 miles south of Dallas, and it would be just so nice to hear you in real time one day.
Right. Well, there's really nothing we can do right now.
In that part of Texas, I don't know. Now, you know, see, we've resigned ourselves in the Dallas station. That's the only spot they got put us on late at night.
Yeah.
And there in Austin, what we say is great. It's a talk format on FM. It's got Howard in the morning. Fantastic.
If you broadcast the show a couple of hours later, you're not going to really you're not going to damage the relevance of the show as much. But you do it the day after.
Mm. You're killing them.
I mean, yeah. It's a day to day thing.
And we're not going to hide the fact. We're not going to hide the fact that this show that we're doing today is going to be heard tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow right. morning in Austin, Texas. Yeah. You know, like I said yesterday, God forbid anything awful was to happen.
Yeah.
What would they do?
Well, it looks silly. And a lot of people, you know, that aren't radiophiles are going to hear the show and say, what the hell are they talking about?
Right. So anyway, we know it's dumb, but we fought this battle so many times with radio stations, and this is an Infinity-owned radio station.
Yeah, pretty much radio stations can do what they want.
Where the company came to us and said, we're going to put your show on this station. We said, that's stupid. And they said, well, okay. You know, incidentally, fellas, did you check your checks? Are the checks coming?
Right.
And now we have, they said, yes. They go, okay.
That's the bottom line.
I'll tell you what, you know, I love you guys, and I'm just going to stay listening.
All right, thank you, my friend. Stay listening. That's another one of the old mottos.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they end up just wising up and figure it out to run the show. If they've got some scary good guy that they want to have an afternoon.
Well, that's the problem. There are so many other good shows. There's no room for us.
You know, run it.
Right.
They won't.
No, they won't. No, because, you know, whatever. Because whatever. So that's what's happening there. Thank you, everybody from Austin who's calling. And see, those people are dedicated because they're calling now.
Right.
And the show's not on now.
They've taken the time to figure out the logistics of when this show airs live in America.
Let me just say to all you nerds out there, and there's a lot of nerds out there like me who really enjoyed when we had Stan Lee on the show a couple of weeks ago.
I know a lot of non-nerds that like that.
Did I tell you that Jim London called in the office?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he called. Jim London, the local radio guy.
Right. Good man.
Just called, a friend of ours, just called. You know, not talked to him. I don't know, put that tape away.
What are you doing?
Don't even have to know.
I know what the tape
put
is.
Put the tape
on. Well, ice cream.
Well, it's put and donuts.
Okay.
So, all right, put it back. Well, you know what? No, don't, because I'm going to go somewhere else.
Ah.
Okay. I want to show you I'm not going to do that.
Different direction.
So anyway, Jim London was nice enough to call in the office, and, you know, as a competing DJ, works on a country station, just said, hey, that thing with Stan Lee, I loved it.
Yeah.
Now, I realized what that segment was. It was just me climbing into, you know his condo.
Entertaining.
And
yeah, but your boyish enthusiasm during that segment amused everyone.
And now, get ready for this, all you nerds like me. As I wrote on my post-it, be jealous. Be very jealous. You see what I received?
Wow, the letterhead says pow.
It sure does. Power and entertainment.
Mm.
And now, Mike, your name is on this as well.
Oh, good.
But I know that you won't mind sharing it with me and allowing me to keep it in my memorabilia.
No, you go ahead.
It's a piece of stationery with Spidey's head on the top.
Right.
Wow.
And what Stan has done is written the little balloon that comes out and Spider-Man says, hi, Don and Mike. And then he writes, many thanks for the CDs.
You see, because he asked for a copy.
Yeah, he got the copies, right?
Good.
I really enjoyed being on your fun show. Wishing you both long years of continued success. And then he wrote, now get ready for this. You nerds like me, he wrote, Excelsior, which is what he would write in the comic books. Stan.
Wow. Your friend.
I got it.
Hey, let me see the signature. Let me see that. That's very cool.
Check that out.
Very cartoonish.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So as soon as he dies, that's going up on eBay. No, I'm kidding.
That's very, very
exciting. I'm kidding, of course. Thank you. Thank you to Stan Lee. Oh, listen, last night, let me tell you before I get to this other stuff, just something funny. Rob called, you know, as always. It's either him calling me or me calling him. And my kid picked up the phone last night. One of the rare nights my son was actually at home. We were actually a nuclear family.
Wow.
We were all there at the same time.
Right.
And he picked up the phone and went, hello? And he went, yeah, just a second. And he said, Dad, it's Rob. And then as he was walking across the room to give me the phone, the three of us were watching some dumb girl show that Frieda wanted to watch on television.
Mm-hmm.
As he got closer, he said, the same way that I always say hi to Rob, he said, hi. And
it was eerie.
I don't know how long he had you going, and thank God you didn't say anything or talk the way that we normally talk.
It was eerie. Well, what happened is he said hi, and I went into whatever I was. It was a John Ritter thing.
Yeah.
And then I hear in the background, give me that. Or actually, it's off mic. Give me that. And I said, aha, I've been had.
Yes.
But
I love it when he's turning himself into a mimic.
Yeah, and he's got the genetic disposition because I
right.
got the same pipes, and it was eerie. I didn't care for it. Make him stop.
Thank God that you didn't call, you didn't say, the meeting's been moved to Wednesday night.
Pain came out of the hood.
Yeah.
Here are the final plans on who we're killing.
Oh, dear. So anyway, I thought that was funny. And then he tried it again today, this morning.
Yeah, but I truth him, I told him I was Carrie. The laugh was mine.
There you go.
Listen, I was going to mention that thing about the disc jockey. This is unrelated to the disc jockey, but I just want to talk about... Oh, and I got something great about Wendell Hall here at the beginning of the show as well.
Smoot!
Okay. Our engineer. There's this broad who writes for the TV column in the Washington Post.
Oh, yes.
Her name is Lisa DeMoray. Mm-hmm. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She is, among other things, vapid, a woman who appears to be intellectually superior to anyone who would dare to read her comments in the newspaper, a woman who, from reading her, as I read the column daily, hates television,
mm-hmm.
hates everything about television,
yes.
Is mean-spirited, from what I'm guessing, has not had a good roll in the sack for I don't know how long, because, man, this is one bitter woman. And understand, I opened the show the other day by speaking about another very strong woman, Martha Stewart, who I love and admire. She's a bitch, too.
You're on your own on that one.
And boy, oh, man, was I out of my mind last night watching Larry King?
Right, with Martha?
She's so great. Listen to this. He says to her...
She's so great. You've come full circle. I mean, now it's just unabashed love.
No,
the hero.
You know, take that frown and turn it upside down. Listen to the cojones on her. She's on Larry King, and he says... So, you're going to have to do the jail time. What do you think? She said, I'm going to write a self-help book. And he says, about what? And she says, with a straight face, I'm going to write a book for people who are going to be in court. I'm going to write a book for people who are going to be charged with some offense or going to be sued or people who are going to be in accidents in their cars because I want them to know, what do you say to a lawyer? How do you act in court?
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that you do? I can write a book. And she says, Larry, there are no self-help books for people who are in court.
That's brilliant.
Wow. And rather than saying to her, you are out of your freaking mind, you know, or at least saying, gosh, that's bizarre.
Right.
You know,
it is intriguing.
There is, you know, there's no response from him. But I watched it and I just thought again... I love her more than I ever have.
You want to marry her?
She's got, no, but she's got some cojones.
And she wants to make clear that she didn't in any way mean to compare herself to Nelson Mandela. She just wanted to clear that up on Larry King last night as well.
Wow. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
You know, there have to be people that are telling her, honey, just go on these shows and be contrite.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you want to get the plug in.
Sure.
Because the part that I watched earlier was just like...
I don't think she's a woman that's capable of contrition.
It was like the press conference. She said, Larry, one of the first things, Larry, what's your message, Martha? My message is I'm doing well, and Our magazine is a really good magazine.
She's doing the promotion.
The first thing right out of the chute. God.
She's a businesswoman.
So I say that...
That will be a huge bestseller if she does write that.
Legal etiquette.
She is one just crazy bitch, okay? But I love her.
Yeah, admire her.
And then there's the woman from The Post, who I would classify the same way.
Right, but you don't admire her.
Me no love
her. What did she do now?
Well, here's the thing. In the midst of all of the other crap that she writes about in the newspaper, she had, in essence, this is what I have figured out her job is. She writes about what's on television, okay? She's not necessarily a critic. She reports on the ratings. She reports on who's getting fired.
But as you pointed out, she's not a big fan of television.
No, yet she has the job as a TV reporter. She gets flown to Los Angeles or New York for these press junkets, where CBS, NBC, Fox, whatever the network, they pay for these people to come out because they want them to write stuff about their new shows in the newspaper.
Right.
So I figure in this society of people who have these cushy, good jobs where they get paid good money and get flown around the country and just get their asses kissed to write stuff about TV shows, there's got to be, what, maybe tops 50 of them. Maybe 50 of these people who write a daily for a major metropolitan newspaper or magazine.
Reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, in the midst of all the stuff that she's writing here about what she does and doesn't like, she does something that even I found to be heinous. And I'm a tough guy to piss off, because I like a good joke.
I've always said that.
And I like... You know, you didn't piss me off yesterday.
I know, and I'm not talking about yesterday. I was making a joke.
Here's the thing. She writes about this guy named Jay Bobbin. Now, I know you've never heard of Jay Bobbin.
No.
He has nothing to do with television.
Isn't he a character in Lord of the Rings?
He is not, right? He is not. He is a writer. And let me see if she even mentions what newspaper he writes for. I'll give you the beginning of this, and then you'll understand exactly where I'm going on this. John Goodman's new CBS sitcom, Center of the Universe, is DOA. We know this because of the Jay Bobbin 7-question rule. During the semi-annual TV press tour here, networks take turns conducting Q&A sessions about primetime series. And over the years, TV critics have noticed that anytime Tribune Media Services senior feature writer Jay Bobbin gets in 7 questions in one session, it spells death for the show.
Hmm. Oh, that's catty.
Now, hold on a second. She goes on to write, "This is no reflection on Bobbin, one of the most intrepid members of the media to attend the tour. Even at sessions for the worst show ever made, and Goodman's new sitcom is definitely a contender, Bobbin asks his questions with vim and volume. He's no microphone hog. If he gets in 7 questions at a session, it's because the other critics have already written off the series, and while they're there in body, they're on mulling much more important matters. Some network publicists know about the Jay Bobbin 7 questions rule, and because people are naturally superstitious..." What she goes on to write, that sometimes even, like, they'll say after...
So what she's doing in a roundabout way, it seems to me, is that she's getting very inside, and she's complaining about the fact that this guy got too much time.
No. I don't read it at all like that.
Okay, that's what it sounds like.
I take the side, because what she does is, she goes on to write... What it is it's a joke about somebody that you're in a very small group of people with...
No one knows.
That nobody really knows. Right. Like, for instance... There's a guy who used to work at this station. And how many people behind his back would make labor-saving jokes?
Right.
Now,
yes.
It wouldn't have been nice to get on the radio and say, hey, guess what? Guess what? All of the jokes that we're making about someone being lazy and doing things in the shortest, the way that, with the least amount of energy,
right.
It's all based on you. He wouldn't want to hear that from his friends. He wouldn't want to know that this joke had been made behind his back for the whole time he had worked at this radio station. So it's much the same thing.
Yeah.
Much the same thing with this girl here. What she's doing is she writes then that even the networks know about this guy, this and it's a big laugh.
with this small contingent of people. Now, here's what she goes on to write, and this is what made me think about this.
First off, she refers to herself as we a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh,
the royal we.
We are not amused.
And yes, being at a press tour with the Television Critics Association is a lot like being in junior high. So, though we'd love to tell you which critics tried to talk us out of revealing the Bobbin rule, see, what she's saying is that there were a lot of critics who were on this, in this little circle group that they have, who were unhappy to learn, and again, writing about herself in third person, were unhappy to learn that the TV column, you know, that's her, was going to write about the Bobbin rule. Maybe they would were afraid it would hurt Bobbin's feelings to learn about their J. Bobbin seven questions rule.
Mm-hmm.
One critic begged, as a personal favor, that we kill this item because, quote, we need Bobbin, and if he dries up, these sessions will become even more dull.
Mm-hmm.
So even that, they're slamming the guy while they're saying to the guy, I just say, for the guy, for this poor schmuck, you know, is this the best you've got to do, Miss Smarty Pants? Really, is this the best you can do? And then to cover
and
her.
She obviously had such a material dry up that she had to feed on her own.
Now listen, here's how she ties it up at the end with a nice little bow. She goes, Bobbin, while she's out at him now, is the guy who, incidentally, everybody that you work with for the last 24 years
You're a hump.
Has been goofing on you
behind
your back.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it in the newspaper because I got nothing else to write
about. And I could care less.
And because I'm a know-it-all bitch. I'm going to just put it in the newspaper. So here's what she writes to cover her ass. Bobbin, who's been covering press tours for 22 years, was surprised when we, again, you know, who's the we, honey? It's you. It's one girl. When we told him about the Bobbin rule. Hey, that had to be a nice conversation. That couldn't have been too awkward.
Right.
She writes, quote, until now, I was not aware of it, he told the TV column. At which point, those critics who objected to our writing about the rule came over to monitor the conversation. And patting Bobbin on the arm assured him the critics all think very highly of him and hope that he will not clam up now that the cat's out of the bag. And then the poor schmuck gets quoted, that will never happen, Bobbin said with a smile.
And it's so gutless.
You bitch! You heartless
very mean
bitch! Listen, I'm a heartless bastard, but I'm known for doing that on the radio. I'm doing a shock radio show.
Yeah, and you don't say we and the radio show.
Even toned down, it's still, you know, it's here to inform, entertain, shock. Honey, you got a cherry gig. So do I. I got this for you. People with cherry gigs, you don't flaunt it like this. You don't do crap like this. You just ruined the J. Bobbin guy. You just stomped on him.
Yeah, you did.
Not to mention wasting the time of the people who read the Washington Post.
Yeah, I mean, with nothing really
valuable. Because it's the same. You know what?
I mean, J. Bobbin does. It is the attitude that has developed over the years, and everybody knows this, of superiority that exists at the Washington Post with so many of their columnists, where they just, you want to talk about people, you know, and I will use the express and read their own press.
Yeah. They think that they just don't stink. I'd love to get this crazy girl on the show one day and just say, honey, listen, I agree with you. Television stinks. All the shows are bad. And I'm not saying I want Pollyanna journalism.
Yeah, but go after the television show. That's what you're supposed to do.
I want to know what's happening on TV. I don't want to know about your behind-the-scenes junior high stuff you're doing with this guy who now has to say when he's told about it, when his quote was, I didn't know about it, it's like, oh, Christ, now you've just, like, kicked him between the legs.
Well, you're so smirky and smarmy, and you do that with everybody else that you're not connected to. I guess it just wasn't enough. I guess she needed to feed on one of her own there.
And I know that I'm guilty of this, more guilty than anybody in this room. But I'm not writing a column for a newspaper, you know, that even in this junky part of the paper, still it's the Washington Post. She's supposed to be, what is this? Is she starts out by writing something that might be newsworthy. CBS News will not cover Ron Reagan's primetime speech at the Democratic Convention.
Yes.
That's newsworthy.
Legitimate.
Then the second story, I don't count it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The next 10 paragraphs, lots of them very long, are about the J. Bobbin rule. And then you move back to the fact that The Daily Show won an award.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh.
And what they're saying, what she's saying in a way about this guy, is this guy is such a lightweight that if the powers that be, the PR people for these TV shows, give him enough time, well, that means the show, if the show's going to be a blockbuster, if it's going to be a heavy hitter, they're going to spend more time with Lisa herself. She'll get more
or
interview
with the equivalent
time.
But if it's a show, a dumb show like Starring
If it's a
John,
dumb show, then Jay Bob, and of course, will get all the intros.
Then you think, hey, where's the Joe? And incidentally, Joe is the Jay Bobbitt of this show.
There's no doubt about
it. Yeah, but he knows it and he
Joe
loves it.
Jay.
He wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, and listen, last thing I'd like to say to you, Lisa, first, baby, what are your issues? You got to call me so we can talk.
Yeah.
And second, nobody likes you. Just nobody likes you. Listen to this, how she writes then later in the same column. We attended the session for the new CBS sitcom based on the Washington Post style section columns of Tony Kornheiser because we think Kornheiser is fabulous. And besides, we are not stupid. You are stupid.
Wow.
You stupid idiot girl. God. What a stupid girl. They wrote that garbage song about you.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid girl.
Mm-hmm. We attended. This columnist.
Well, anyway.
You know, it's the gutless way. I tell you, I've said it forever.
I know that it's...
Beware. I say that to anybody, and especially...
Beware the press.
Especially the young...
The written press.
The young broadcasters. The print media, beware.
Right.
It is the... They will look at you, and Don, have we not had this over our career? Have we not had this experience where they will look at you, and you will leave a room. And you will think everything is just fine.
Yeah, then you open up the paper the next day and it says, baby killers have entertaining morning shows.
And if we have an interview that's going south here and we've got an issue with somebody, there's no way we can hide it. You know that. Now, we might do the old thing where we talk bad about them after they leave. But you know what? When they're here, they know what the real
anyway,
thing is.
Anyway,
hey,
Beth Ann, if you're listening in the other room, and I hope you are, you haven't changed the station, I'd like you to find this guy, Jay Bobbin, for me. I'd like to talk to this guy.
Poor guy.
We'd like to book him.
Yeah, we'd like but we would, because there's more than one of us.
Let me warn all of you right now, it will be disappointing. It will be disappointing.
And you know why?
Because he will be a smarmy guy that'll be like, well, I really didn't think so.
I know, but
he's print anyway. He's print, too.
He's part of the society.
But now he's been shunned by his own.
Yeah, but you know what you think? You think he's going to come out and he's going to be vindictive and say horrible things about her? I give you a 10% chance of that happening. I'd love to have the guy on to see if it happens. 5%, Rob?
No. Here's what I say. More than that, I would say 50% because... It's in the newspaper.
He's probably the kind of guy that's easy to pick on. That's why she picked him.
Yeah, but
they go after the week.
Yeah, but they picked on this guy for 22 years behind his back.
Yeah.
He's so stupid, he didn't know.
Yeah, but how about the quote at the end? He smiled.
Well, how do you know? How do you know that wasn't a smile like... I'd love to kill you.
Well, because technically, if they are picking on the guy for 22 years. But I'd love to have the guy on the show. But I bet it's going to be like,
Robin.
You know who he'll be? He'll be like Keystand. Sorry, but he will be.
That guy works for USA Today, and he is a tool.
He'll be like Keystand, Jeffrey York,
yuck.
Lloyd Grove, all those scumbags.
Okay. All right. Got to do a break here. Stay there. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Tonight, BMW and Apple have created the first seamless integration of iPod and automobile.
If you've ever made a custom cassette tape of your favorite music, then you already understand the concept of playlists.
Hey, Buzz, what say you about BMW?
Oh, man, it's a great car. It's beautiful. I'm driving a convertible. It's got the iPod in it. I couldn't be happier.
The iPod starts with iTunes. Create as many playlists as you want. Include as many songs as you want. Rearrange the songs till the order is just right.
Mm-hmm.
This technology only works with 2002 or later 3 Series and X5 in all model years of the X3 and Z4 Roadster.
However, the adapter cannot be installed in vehicles with navigation systems, satellite radio, DSP, CD changer, or cassette player.
You must update your iPod with the latest iTunes software.
Adapter only available at BMW centers beginning July 12.
For more information, go to iPodYourBMW.com today.
What say you, Buzz?
I like it.
What say you, Buzz?
I love it.
Now we're on time.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
New card.
What do you think?
Whoa. Very nice. Look at that.
Picked them up from the printers yesterday.
Good coloring.
That's bone. And the lettering is something called Sicilian Braille.
It's very cool, Bateman, but that's nothing.
Look at this.
That is really nice. Eggshell with Romalian type. What do you think?
Nice.
Jesus.
That is really super. How'd a nitwit like you get so tasteful?
I can't believe that Bryce prefers Van Patten's card to mine.
The Don and Mike Show.
Tell me.
Two hot and hairy bear studs, Don and Mike.
Great ride. You might remember 4 years ago on the show, I had been a lifelong registered Democrat.
Yes, you have.
And flipped.
Yeah.
Went Republican last time. Didn't like Lieberman. And the reason I didn't like Lieberman is, and God...
Your instincts weren't bad on that, in my opinion.
In some ways, I was a visionary, because Lieberman was all over this. We got to control the airwaves. Yeah. And, you know, yeah. What our kids hear on the radio and see on TV is bad. That's why I didn't like the Lieberman thing, the Gore Lieberman ticket.
And I just didn't like the way he talked. Yeah, it was really... But, of course, I voted for him, but I still didn't like the way he talked.
And, you know, I figured how bad could Bush screw it up. So I voted for Bush.
Now you know.
And anyway, there was a guy. What's the guy's name here? Because he's back today.
Yeah, he's out in the lobby.
Jim Parmalee from the Republican Party is here, and I believe he's waiting for an answer. And I'm ready to give the answer.
He's bringing gifts, of course. He's bringing campaign literature.
Now, you should know this guy actually works for the real Republican Party.
Right.
He came four years ago.
Can you tell by looking at him? I mean, you look in the dictionary under the word Republican, and they use this guy's picture.
Right. Came in 4 years ago, gave me a hat, shirt, gave me a real card that I could carry in my wallet that said I was a Republican.
Absolutely. And as I have said to my Democratic colleagues, you know, where are you? Where are you with, and Don, I know you don't like this word, the swag.
But Mike, I'm with you since I read that Donnie Brasco book. Where's our swag?
Where's the swag from the Democratic Party in Northern Virginia? That's my question. And once again, he's come back with his...
So here he is, Jim Parmalee, wearing the nice button-down shirt, the red, white, the blue tie. Hi, Jim.
Hi, thanks for having me. And I'm not looking for an answer today. I'm asking you to wait until after both parties have had their convention. Mm-hmm. I wanted to come in because I've heard you talking about your concerns, and I wanted to bring up the point. Yes, where are the Democrats? Why have they been ignoring this show? Yes. And to come in, bring you some information, and to remind you and the listeners, you know, what the Republican Party has done. We've been a friend to this show for 20 years.
Now, listen, Democrats, I want to tell you something, Democrats.
How can you have been a friend to us for 20 years?
I'm not prepared to debate this man on this issue.
It wasn't until 4 years ago that we even had a real political guy come in here.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ronald Reagan had you guys down to the White House.
Okay, you're right. And our back was turned by Clinton.
Right.
And then now by Bush.
Yes.
And I kept my promise to you, as President Bush is keeping his promise to America. I brought tickets for the swearing in. They were going for $1,000 on eBay.
No, you did. I remember it. Wow. I remember you did.
And I'm prepared to do the same thing this year.
Thank God. I would like to appeal to anybody that is connected with the Democratic Party in this area. And now you represent what? Northern Virginia? I run
a Republican United for Tax Relief. I'm also president of the Northern Virginia Republican Political Action Committee.
Okay. I would like
Mike, just give me a second.
Go ahead, Don.
I just want to say, they're politicking for the vote of a man who is a retard.
Okay? I'd like to point that out.
I'm the tard.
Yeah, but I'm saying that even though you are the tard, that this man's counterpart in the Democratic Party should post down here.
For 20 years, they've done nothing for this show.
And I think it's time for them to step up. I am not prepared to debate him on this issue. I'll debate him on everything else he stands for.
No, I don't want to have a political debate. You simply wanted to know. I believe you want to come down because you've heard me mention
I'm waffling.
You're flip-flopping.
I think after you've seen both conventions, you've heard from Governor Schwarzenegger, you've heard from Senator McCain.
Hold on.
You are going to come back into the fold.
No. Giuliani's a good man. Schwarzenegger's an idiot. We both know that. Come on, we both know that.
This show with hours of comedy.
Now, he has. Why would I wait for the conventions when the conventions won't even be on TV? I know that they're going to be boring. Nothing's going to be said at the conventions that are going to sway me. And I saw it Fahrenheit 9/11, and while Bush is an idiot, I found fault with Michael Moore as well, in the way that it was put together. However, it's at this point that I must say to you, in the great words of Billy Ocean, hey, you, get out of my car.
Let me point out, though, the issues that you are concerned with President Bush on, Senator Kerry agreed with him. Senator Kerry voted with him on that.
Do you understand?
The spin.
Now we're
in the spin zone.
Do you understand the attention span of the average American? Okay? It's been 4 years.
Right.
I want someone new. You know, unless, for goodness sake, unless tulips were coming up out of manure piles, I would have wanted somebody new anyway. And as it turns out, the worst tragedy in our nation's history, in my humble opinion, happened on this guy's watch. And he ain't done a whole lot.
Hey, only a few months into his watch, really.
So what, he gets what, a grace period?
Well,
he reacted well at the time. He reacted well at the time. But I don't know what the hell we're doing in Iraq.
Don, are you prepared to offer your allegiance to the Democratic Party now?
Let me ask you, what the hell are we doing in Iraq?
We are in Iraq because a bipartisan coalition in Congress, along with President Bush and all the major security agencies in the world, and the Clintons, everyone from right to left, agreed that he had weapons of mass destruction. And
okay, he doesn't.
Well, where we found the nuclear weapons was in Libya.
After a
Libya
concerted
was
so effort by the Bush White House.
Why are we in Iraq?
Let me tell you, it's a side benefit. Because of what we did in Iraq.
Benefit of being in Iraq?
Because we were in Iraq.
A side
Libya
benefit for Dick Cheney's pocketbook.
Libya gave up its nuclear weapons program because they were afraid.
It's been a long time since I've had to break up with somebody. I've been married almost 23 years.
I have gifts.
You're a nice guy. I appreciate it.
And the Bikers for Bush stickers are very, very nice.
Don't take this the wrong way. Get the frig out of here. Get the frig out of here.
There he goes.
As far as I'm concerned, John Kerry could be the biggest moron on this planet since Carrot Top. But I also have news for you. If it was George Bush versus Carrot Top, I'd vote for Carrot Top. There it is.
Your attention span on this one, perhaps in a few months, if the election gets closer.
Not a chance, pal.
You change your mind again. I will be here for you.
Not a chance. I appreciate it.
You're a very nice man.
But I ain't changing my mind.
Thank you for your time.
See you in 4 years.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm on the other side now.
Thank
hey!
You.
Get bent. You!
You!
Get out of my car!
Get into my car.
No, don't get in. Get out!
Get into my car.
Dumb, nerdy guy.
All right, there you go.
So,
thank you, Don. Welcome back. Welcome home.
That's that.
Yeah. Welcome back to the right side.
Let me just say, I think things will still be effed up with John Kerry. I have no faith in any of these people. Mm-hmm. You know me in politics. I don't know. All I know is just, where's the exit door for Iraq?
I think it's time for change.
Just let's get the exit door. Let's proceed to the exit in a timely manner. Mm-hmm. Let's get our concessions all the way out.
I'm just so glad that you, regardless of how you rationalize it and how you expand your base by making these statements, I think that down deep in your soul, that you know you're making the right decision.
Mm-hmm. And I want you folks to know something.
And you're prepared, of course, if the new guy gets in 4 years things get bad or worse, God forbid.
I'll go back.
You're sure. Prepared to jump ship again.
Yeah, what the hell? Who says you can't go from, why is it that if you're one, you gotta be one forever?
You don't, and I think the electorate has proven that. I mean, that's the great undecided mass of people out there. That's
well, undecided.
That's what this election's gonna hinge on, and you were undecided, and now you've come out and made the statement.
As I said, he did it for me himself. When I saw Bush on television months ago,
yes,
doing these interviews, he settled it for me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think he's a dope. You know, I mean, but that's easy to say because he does so many things that are dope-like.
Well, it's fun. Yeah.
And, you know, Kerry's probably a dope as well. Hold on a second. Don got... I love these calls. Don got lyric to song wrong. What song?
Get out of my car.
Oh, damn. Christ. What? You know, can I tell you something, sir? Here in the world that I live in, which is 98% perfect all the time, on the rare occasion, you know, it's like, let me ask you something. You have any idea who Tom Edison was?
Thomas Edison?
Tommy E, as I like calling him.
Little Tommy Edison.
Little Tommy.
You know, not to put myself into his category. All right, let's talk about P squared. You know, Pablo Picasso.
There you go.
When he's painting his picture, mm-hmm. he's got, you know, he's got like an eye going where a nose should be.
That's right. So what the hell are you doing? Hey, Pablo, you got the lyrics wrong.
Yeah, you think some guy would come in to a studio and go, hey, dude, you know, come on, let it go, man. It's my 2%. It's the 2% where I'm not perfect.
Yeah, you think.
But how many times did you play that record on the air?
I don't know, countless thousands of times.
It doesn't
mean I listen to every single word.
I must agree. Do you think people walk up to Stephen Hawking and go, hey, short stuff, move your lips?
But it's
like that happens?
Why do you care, sir?
Let me ask you. Let me just say something.
He probably doesn't like the statement that was just made.
I'm more perfect in my profession. I'm sure you ever will be in yours. And if it makes you feel better that you called up and I got the lyrics to some stupid song wrong, that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, but you're saying to the Republican dude, get out of my car, when actually the song is Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car. So are the Republicans in your dreams?
Hey, sir, if you were back in the day, would you give Henry Ford a hard time for not putting a CD player in the Model T?
Yes, you would.
I probably would.
Yeah.
I thought the lyric was, get off the phone line. Isn't that it?
hey, you. Maybe it's get in. Who cares?
No.
It was a goofy song, and we found the song, you dope. Just get out
of
it.
I sound like a fag for knowing the song.
All right, since we're picking the song apart right now, would the lyric to the song indicate that he wants this girl to get out of his dreams because he's dreaming about her and get into his car?
It's
right.
Not exactly.
It's not a girl. It's a guy song. All right, goodbye. Hold on, I got another perfectionist on the phone.
Oh, good.
This must be Billy Ocean.
Tony the perfectionist. Hello, Tony.
I'm not really a perfectionist. I'm just thinking that you meant to say, hey, you, get off my cloud.
No, I didn't.
No, I thought it was Cloud, too.
Well, that's a different song.
No, but I definitely wanted...
I thought it was McCloud.
McCloud? hey, you. And the guy's right. It's get into my car.
Uh-huh. Right.
It's get into my dreams, get out of my car. But, you know, come on. What are you doing? What are you doing? Seriously. I mean, when God was creating the earth...
Right.
Do you think that those, whatever the cells were that were formed, said, hey, dude, you missed a spot over here? You know, I don't want to make it up here. I'm taking myself too seriously.
We're just playing here.
You know, come on.
And the guy from the Republican Party could not have been nicer.
Yes.
He took it like a man.
Yeah. Hello. Here's Rick.
Out of the studio.
Don and Mike Show. Hello, Rick.
Yeah, I was wondering if Rob A. Accepted the swag the Republican guy brought around today. That is a wonderful question. He was silent during that.
Fair question.
Actually, Carrie and I have been doing a lot of talk. Not John Kerry, but Carrie, my wife.
Yeah.
We've been talking a lot. We're still undecided, and a lot of it has to do with the stem cell research.
Okay.
Because that's what drives us crazy, is the fact that the Republicans won't embrace that. Mm-hmm. And if there is a...
You and Ron Reagan Jr.
We will probably embrace...
You know, I don't get it. All you got to do is, when you get the apple...
Right.
If you're really good, you can just bite the stem right out, and there's no problem.
Hey, Rob, I'll see you.
Why do we have to have research for this? How many times do you want to do it lightly?
You're chewing on the stem and just going, what are you doing? I'm doing research.
How many times have you had an apple that's got like a stem sticking out?
Right.
And just to make it a cleaner process, mm-hmm. you just go down the middle and go, spit it out.
How many times have I walked around the hallways here and looked at the women here at WJFK and said, hey, great stems.
Uh-huh.
Do the research.
Check out the 1940s.
Check out the stems on her. Hey, McCloud.
All right, see you later.
Bye.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hello, Joe D., Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, Joe D.
Oh, it's great to hear you again. I just moved down to Delaware from Philly, and I can hear you again, and it's great.
Good. All right, thank you, my friend.
And all right.
Just like if you lived in Austin, you'd be able to hear this tomorrow. That's a great, great idea. Our engineer, Wendell Hall, who we talk about a lot on the show.
He's not changing his mind.
No. Not at all.
He's angry about this right now.
Nothing could change Wendell's mind.
He'd be a little angry about this.
Winner!
Oh, just think your phone's got it.
Hold on, here's a guy named Matt. A very insightful caller, I believe. I'm going to guess, because it says he's from Iowa. Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're on the air, Matt. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
why don't you tell those guys that they're going to call to quit stuttering the damn time? All they're doing is stuttering. I can't understand anything they're saying.
That's right. Who are you talking about?
Callers calling up. Give you our time.
All these callers calling in.
Uh-huh. They should all be like you, right?
Hey, that'd be perfect.
That's like that first guy that called and said, hey, Don, you played that song for years.
So do you want to go... Now, listen, I'll tell you something. When you go on the air, you can't use that word you just word. The word you just used.
The D word.
Right, you can't. So,
all right.
Hold on, and I'll put you on with Don and Mike. What's your name again?
Matt.
Okay, Matt, where are you calling from?
Iowa.
Hold on, please. Okay, we got to get right back to this guy before he figures out he's our dumbest caller of the day. Hello, Don and Mike show.
You're on the air.
Hello, Don and Mike. This is the guy who called to say callers are messing up the show. Hello.
Yeah, they're messing up the show.
Yeah, welcome to the show. What's your name, my friend?
Matt,
where are you from?
Iowa.
And Matt, what is your concern with the show?
How come I hear it on the radio still?
Matt, you're not paying attention to the phone. It's
focus
really
on the
what
phone.
You should be paying attention to. Do you have trouble with the attention spans, Matt?
No troubles
with attention spans.
And
with attention spans.
Matt, does it bother you when really stupid people call the show?
Yeah, it bothers me a lot. Like, all they do is sit there and stutter the whole time.
Right. And what about people who have their radios up all the time?
What about them? My radio's not up.
Yes, it is. You're listening to the radio right now. Does it bother you?
Listen, I want to say something. I'm very fond of all of our callers, even the callers that I yell at. But I like the dumb ones the best.
Yeah.
How about you?
I like the dumb ones, but I hate when they sit there and take 5 minutes to get one sentence out of their mouth.
Yeah,
good point.
And what about those who are so stupid, even stupider than that, those who would call the show, actually be on the air, and not even know it? Aren't they the dumbest?
That ever bother you?
Like I've already said, I was already on.
No, but you didn't know it at first.
No, you didn't. We had a good...
Oh, I heard you guys, and then when I heard you come back again,
the point
I knew.
No.
We had you.
You didn't know it at first.
We had you for a good 2 minutes. Then why, when I said to you, do you want to talk to Don and Mike now, did you say okay?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. So where's your mom?
Hold on.
Where's your mom live?
Whoa. My mom lives in Iowa.
What town in Iowa?
What region?
How about Muscatine?
No, but what's the real town? Begins with a W.
It does not begin with a W. That's where I live.
No. Oh, boy, man.
You know, for him, you might have to say it begins with an H.
It begins with an H.
No, it doesn't.
It's a little place we refer to as Whore Town.
City.
Okay.
Whore City, Whore Town.
Whoreville.
Oh, it is not. You guys can't say certain things.
What? You were mumbling there, and I know
you mumbled like the people you don't like.
I know you hate it when people mumble on this show.
I'm not mumbling.
Matt, you just mumbled.
Matt, who took up more time? The people who stuttered or, say, oh, you?
I'd say people who stuttered.
All right.
Wrong. You are wrong, though.
All right, now, let's say hi to your mom in Whorville.
Hello, Mom in Whorville.
There you go.
All right.
In full circle.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, Don.
Bye now.
He was
my
fun. Goodness, another person questioning us. Another person saying to Alexander Graham Bell, hey, where's the redial button?
Wendell Hall. I guess we'll discuss Wendell Hall. When we got to take a break here. Yeah. It's a NAM jam with Wendell Hall, our engineer.
Yeah.
Wendell has hipped me to some... inter-office memorandums sent via electronic mail, Mike.
Excellent.
And not only does it paint a wonderful picture of what they're doing around here to install the computers, but there's also a delightful insight into the life of Wendell Smoot Hall.
Oh, good.
That's pointed out in this memo.
Winner!
The memo which was given to us, and I spoke to Wendell personally before the show today, and he has no problem with me reading this.
He's really.
So I think it's interesting, and we should also thank Wendell because the computer in the back of the studio now works thanks to Wendell Hall.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got it done. Wendell Hall.
Winner.
Shotgun.
Yeah.
Junior Walker of the All-Stars.
Yeah.
Listen, while we go to break, we are playing for how much? $200 today.
Oh, very exciting.
$200 with the new Secret Sound, where we add $100.
All right, turn that up.
Where we add $100 every single day until we get a winner. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Common everyday sound.
Very curious sound this time around. Mm-hmm.
Here it is now. And for those of you not a fan of the clicking sounds, you'd have to say this is not a clicker. Oh,
and no. You know me. I hate the clicking sounds more than anyone, and I really was fond of this sound.
Yeah.
So call right now. Be the 100th caller. You'll win $200 if you can identify this sound. There it is. What's that sound?
Hmm.
That's a common everyday sound. We had $100 a day. Now it's worth $200. You be the 100th caller at 877-365-3636. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I don't want to talk to you. You may be mad today. Don't talk to me. It ain't been easy living with you all this time, the things that you've done to me. Trying to pick at my brain what little bit's left of it. Hey, look here. I'm not all the way crazy.
The Don and Mike Show.
More than Rob, we'll get it next time. I can lay it over.
From Hitsville, USA, the home of the world-famous Detroit Sound.
Re-cue it. Hold on a second. Just re-cue the whole goddamn thing.
All right.
Okay, here we go.
The Don and Mike Show. From Hitsville, USA, the home of the world-famous Detroit Sound.
Kind of a crazy thing. Kind of a crazy DJ thing.
Yeah.
Turning Japanese.
Japanese.
Thank you, buddy.
From Hitsville, USA, the home of the world-famous Detroit Sound. Masters of the Taking Touch, Don and Mike.
See, Alice Cooper has nothing to do with Motown.
Right. Oh, man, he can hit a mean three-wood. That will go down as far as my experiences with rock stars. That's one of the strangest moments I've ever experienced on a driving range with Alice Cooper talking golf. You know, and I mean, there he is, you know, this guy, this is years ago, and he's just sitting there, you know, going, yeah, I've been slicing it a little bit, but I like to hear, you know, I'm trying to get in the middle of the fairway.
I told you before the show, I saw the Michael Douglas celebrity thing over the weekend, and
right.
It was Alice Cooper was playing with Kenny G.
Huge golfer.
And they're Alice both Cooper. Good.
Yeah, they're very
good. Wow. I mean, they're both good golfers.
Right, now. Right.
I don't know about, I mean, I'll always stand behind Alice, but mm-hmm. I find it hard to respect Kenneth G.
Yes.
I truly do.
I know. Here's Kenny G.
Because he's just so, he's, you know.
Yeah.
He's just so, he's not like Clay Aiken.
No.
Here's what I mean. Clay Aiken knows that Clay Aiken knows he's Barry Manilow.
Right.
He knows that he's this generation's, you know, barely man enough.
Sure.
He can deal with it. Kenny G still has these aspirations that we're going to think that he's macho because
that's
he plays
so
golf.
Sad if that's true.
I think
that
so.
Is so very, very sad that if he's like, you know, getting up in the morning and looking in front of the full length mirror and just going,
but you really can honestly say he's the most macho clarinet player in the world.
That's
no one
true.
Touches him.
No, I mean, as far as a modern
clarinet player, get out of here, Rob.
Perhaps oboe.
Bassoon.
The flute. The flute of the skin variety.
Oh, dear. That's dirty.
Oh. Violation.
Oh.
Violation.
You're in trouble now, Buster.
My name is Infinity. Don and Mike, hello. Secret Sound Game.
Hi.
Hey, you're the 100th caller. What's your name?
My name's Sean.
Hey, hello, Sean. Where are you from?
Bel Air.
So are you listening on Live 1057 in Baltimore?
Yes, sir, I am.
Right on. Listen, just for calling, you've won two free seats to see Yes, Nissan Pavilion, Wednesday, August 25th. Tickets on sale now, Ticketmaster, or go online to NissanPavilion.com. The Secret Sound, did you hear it yesterday?
I heard it today, though.
All right, yeah, well, that's good enough. Here's a free listen before we actually start the game. Now, you don't get a clue or a hint or anything. It's a common everyday sound, and we're adding $100 a day. So today it's for $200, and of course, Godspeed and blah, 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 blah.
Caller, name this sound.
And here it is. That's the sound. And I'm pretty sure that I can say it is a universal sound that everybody's heard. I forgot about that part of this contest.
Yeah, I got to shake it up once in a while.
Listen, you, here you go, $200. What's the sound?
is that the sound of the flicking of an empty beer can?
Didn't the guy yesterday have guess something
similar? Well, you better get yourself used to that kind of a sound.
Oh, we're sorry.
Nope, absolutely not. Don't forget that every guest is
a clue for you.
And see, unlike the loser. The contest that we did before, it would just be the sound that would drag on and on. Now we're going to add some immediacy to this tomorrow, and we'll only do it once a day. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow it'll be worth $300.
And when you say everyday sound, it is something you could hear in your house. It's not something where
I would pray you'd hear this sound in your house every day.
That, ladies and gentlemen, that constitutes a hint.
Hmm. What, Robbie?
What's a variation on this round of secret sound is that as it gets easier, the prize gets bigger.
What?
So think about that. As, because as the money grows every day, normally the money would start big and get small.
Are you trying to do like a Casey Kasem as the numbers get smaller, the hits get bigger?
No, but it's true that normally
with more of the plays, each time he plays it, he adds money to it. It's more chances to get hints, more chances to hear.
Because as the numbers get smaller, the
numbers something around
hits get bigger.
Yeah, because you're so helpful.
I
love the listener. What can I say? Why don't we add $101 to that?
Why don't you? Why don't you get bent?
Okay. He's very excited about the secret sound game.
Yes. He loves it. He loves it because he loves cheating you listeners.
Yeah. I mean, what would be great for Rob, seriously, would be playing that same sound on Christmas week.
I'm not kidding.
$50,000 for you.
Here's the conversation I had with Rob.
All right.
I said, this was a couple weeks ago, we should really bring back the secret sound. People, you know, seem to dig that. I said, and the good thing now is that we've got enough money in our account that we can add like $100 a day. And he said, oh. I said, what's wrong? Someone will win a lot of money. I mean, that was a real off-the-air response.
I don't see any need to reward them.
That was the real off-air response.
It really is, because, you know, when I see someone guess this and win, that to me constitutes a failure.
Yes, I know. Yeah, I know. And so that's what our listeners are up against. I think more a bigger degree of difficulty than any other radio contest.
Just know that I'm rooting for you, America.
Yeah, right.
You'll get the sound. We'll give you the clues. You'll get the sound. Okay. Tomorrow, it'll be worth $3.
Right.
Everybody, fantasy football, you know, the exhibition season has not even started. It won't start for another 2 weeks, but we've already got our league together. John Normand, our production guy, is going to be the counselor.
Good. The commissioner?
No, the counselor.
Oh, the counselor.
He's a counselor. He's not a commissioner. A counselor.
Do we have the name of the league this year?
No, we don't. That's up for grabs. That's why I mentioned it. However, I'll tell
ladies
you.
Ladies and gentlemen, our new commissioner.
It's being done through NFL. Bowling. It's being done through NFL.com.
This man, in my opinion, this is a man of unquestionable integrity.
Yep, with this NFL.com, there will be no way that anybody can go in and do anything to anything because we are operating by the same set of rules that every other schmuck that signs up for fantasy football on NFL.com does.
Just to have this man involved, I believe, will elevate the integrity of the game. I nothing but respect for him. Just say, don't sell him a house, though.
Yeah. You had to mention
that. I'm kidding because I love you.
That's fine. Yes, we'll be doing it through NFL.com. It's actually mirrored on CBS Sportsline. They're the ones that handle all the stats and everything.
So here's who we've got in the league for sure. We've got Johnny.
Yeah. Johnny Commissioner.
And then we've got me, Don, that's two. Mike is three. Buzz is four. Uh-huh. Rob A is five. Beth Ann is six. Bart, who wants to play from college again, is seventh. Mm-hmm. And rounding out the field this year,
Joe.
What a fine league it'll be.
Yay. That's our eight-team league for our fantasy football. We've already paid the money. We've got the down payment to have them do all the stats and all the scoring and all that crap during the year.
I don't want to predict the outcome of this season. It's way too early to do that. But I just want to say, Eli's a coming. There you go, guys. Don't want to tip my hand to anybody.
I just
want to
say,
Eli's a coming.
Mike is a retard.
What a big retard.
Give up lots of players for Eli.
Take him in the first round.
I want Eli.
Take him in the first round.
I want Eli.
He's pretty, and he plays for the Giants. He's pretty like his brother Peyton. He's pretty like his brother Peyton, like his father Archie. And I want Eli. Give me Eli. I'm a Giants fan, and I want Eli. I do. Oh, Lord, I do. Give me Eli. Come on, Eli.
And I'm at it. All right, John is our commissioner. Thank you, John.
Jerry Todd Show will be our name.
Jerry Todd Show. That's
that's the league, the Jerry Todd Show.
That's a good name for our league. Mm-hmm. All right, Jerry Todd Show.
Very good. I like. Hey, see, already he's stepping up as a commissioner.
Now, and that's a month away, and we will also have the draft on the air. Okay. I guess sometime after the season starts, or very close to when the season starts, we'll do all of that.
Do you want to bring anything for the draft?
On the radio. Being as it's on the radio, no, just your attendance, Mike.
Okay.
Just your and you want to bring Bloody Marys?
I do.
Mm. Bring them.
I mean, yeah, you know, it'd be
you're
fun.
Right.
By that time, enough time would have passed since the last time, so we wouldn't get like a reputation for doing that.
For having drunk shows where we get drunk?
Fair
okay.
Enough.
Yeah.
And
I want pancakes. Unless you bring pancakes, too.
I'll bring the griddle in.
Flapjacks. Bloody Marys and pancakes. Wendell Hall is our engineer. He's one of our many engineers. Excuse me, let me... Wendell Hall.
Winner!
Wendell Shotgun Hall.
Winner!
Made it happen here in the studio today. There were some problems yesterday. I'm enough of a pro, you didn't know him. But there were...
Winner!
You have your studio configured in a much better way today, I think.
Yes.
Are you happy with where everything is today?
I'm happier today.
Good luck.
Good. I'm happier. That's the voice of Wendell Hall.
Good luck.
And Wendell's the guy that did a lot of the work here to get the computer in the back where we needed and get the screens. And Wendell, I thank you for that. I thank you immensely for that.
You are losing
pleasure.
A lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stress.
And and Wendell, our engineer, also, as I mentioned the other day, no longer scares me when I'm online now.
Good.
When I get the thing that says you've got an instant message from you and you've got a weird screen name, because he always writes, his first thing is always is something like, hey, don't be scared, or hey, it's me, Wendell.
Don't be afeared.
So Wendell was working here on the stuff in the studio and showed me some of the, you know, just it's interesting stuff between the engineers. Because we've got how many guys working on the studio, Wendell?
Well, it depends what day it is. Anywhere from... 1 to 5.
1 to 5.
1 to 5. 5 being the top.
And still, and really, I was kidding when I said that, you know, you wouldn't know it, because I bitch about it a lot. I could spend a whole show bitching about how things just aren't quite perfect.
Right.
But they're good. But they're good.
I dare you.
They're good enough. Wendell, don't make me quote you, because you said you wrote some stuff in the IM on Sunday night about the quality of the studio. That, you know, that if it had come from me about the configuration.
Oh, if I'd had my little way, it would be a whole rebuild.
Okay. So,
which I completely agree with.
But we're not going to get a rebuild.
That's the only way to do it.
But here's,
you want to move by that, don't you? The idea of the rebuild. I mean, that really is the only solution.
Here's the thing. I'd love a rebuild. Mm-hmm. They will never do it.
Right.
Write it down. They will do it on the 12th of never. That will be when they will build a new studio for us. And for everybody else. I don't want to mean just us. I mean Ron and Fez and Hefe. We'll all be in the same crappy studio. Mm-hmm. So here's...
We only built this one 5 years ago. It's not done.
Wendell sends me the note. The part of it is when I was screaming on the air last week. You know, it's the stuff, they're going back and forth. It's Wendell with the chief engineer, the head engineer for the company, for this area, whatever he is. You know, let me see. Donna's screaming about something. Alan took me aside today to complain Don wasn't happy because Rob is getting in his way with the touchscreens. And then Wendell gets a return from a guy named Jeff, one of the other engineers.
Uh-huh.
There was a meltdown with Cool Edit. That's the name of the software this morning, blah, blah, blah. Here's the part that I found interesting. Two parts I found interesting.
Oh, then way to give away the book title.
First, to this guy, Jeff, the engineer.
Uh-huh.
Let me say, when you're writing an email, you're writing a missive to someone, you're writing something to Tony and to Wendell, as I read, and he carbon copies a lot of people on it.
Oh, yeah, it's a whole world.
You want to get your message across. If you're going to write the memo... The last paragraph, this is not how you want to start the last paragraph.
Okay.
Lastly, we need to develop a sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. It just seems to me that it defies common logic.
You mean that should be the first paragraph?
Yeah, okay, urgent, there you go.
And one additional thought.
Yeah, and really that's how this memo, which I'm not allowed to read you the whole thing because it's confidential, but there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 paragraphs of all this other stuff. And then lastly...
we need to develop a sense of urgency.
Yes, yeah, and maybe you should be lead with that idea. Yeah.
So here's the part.
The sinking feeling in the pits of our stomachs isn't enough.
Here's the funny part about Wendell and why I wanted to quiz him today, and he was gracious enough to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And Wendell, are you okay with me going back to the other side, voting for Kerry?
I know it was going to happen one time, someday.
Okay. Yeah. They write that there's a problem finding engineers when there's a problem with the computers here. Because, you know, typical Infinity, not enough guys, too much stuff to do. So the guy writes, everyone needs to have a cell phone. Wendell chooses not to have a home telephone and had a company cell phone until the service was suspended. It's now restored. I suggest adding one to the existing account so you both have phones.
Yes.
However, it's not unreasonable to expect an engineer who's on call as a part of their job to own a telephone. Wendell, my question to you is, and you are an, a total enigma, and I will ask you about your hair club for men commercial in a
right,
moment.
Exactly.
Or whatever it is that you're doing, like the commercial I hear. Why do you choose not to have a home telephone?
I'm never home.
Don't you think it would be handy for the job?
Where do you sleep?
At home. But I don't sleep then. I don't want to hear from anybody.
Okay.
So when I had a wireline phone at home, and I'm not alone in this.
I'm not questioning you.
I mean, the percentage of Verizon's business has gone down from 51% to 45%.
I don't want to upset you.
From 2001 to 2003 of wireline phones. People just don't have phones at home anymore.
It's true.
Okay, now,
and for my part, I had a cell phone. What do I need a home phone for?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Telemarketers? I can do without them.
So hold on, but the way that Jeff wrote this what caught my eye was, everyone needs to have a cell. Wendell chooses not to have a home telephone and had a company cell phone until the service was suspended.
Why was the service suspended?
They never transferred it out of Dan Reisman's name.
Mm-hmm.
And the bills were coming to him, and I guess they threw him away because he doesn't work here anymore, and he hasn't for 4 years.
Gotcha. Well, now, do you have your own cell phone with your own cell phone service?
I used to. Back when Dan was here, or when Mike Friedman was here, he had that phone, and I had my phone, and, you know, it was...
They were company phones, though?
No. I paid for my own phone.
Okay.
And, so do you have a phone now?
No. Well, I've got the company phone that they didn't pay the bill for, and it got turned off.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're unreachable now?
Pretty much.
Right.
So how do you react when they send you an email saying that, you know, Wendell chooses not to have a home phone, or obviously you don't have a home phone, a cell phone, excuse me.
Same thing.
But then they write, you know, while we continue to live our life, we must be reachable. Our policy is every page is returned within 5 minutes.
Okay.
So how are you going to live up to this? Or are you going to be a rebel? Because I know you're a rebel.
Do you have a pager? Do you have a pager on you right now?
No, that got lost.
How to get lost.
Oh, hold on. That's in the memo, too. Hold on a second. Cameron called and paged Tony with no response. Wendell was paged for a problem yesterday and never responded.
No idea
that is
that was.
Impossible.
That is because his pager is missing. He is to be given a new pager today.
He is to be given. He would like a new pager.
The station will be billed for the lost pager.
So the station, so you're not out of pocket on that one?
I hope not.
Right.
But just for you, Wendell Hall.
How'd you lose the pager? I'm not trying to give you a hard time.
The clips that they sit in, when I get out of the car, it
pops
flips
off.
Out, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So for you, Wendell Hall, securely. Single successful gun owner.
Hello.
How come you wouldn't want to have just a phone?
Because I don't need a phone.
Because you don't need a phone.
Well, but what about, like, if you had a problem with some service or the battery went dead, wouldn't it be good to have a home phone as a backup?
If I'm not at home, what help is that?
Well, if you're at home and your battery dies and when you're sleeping. And when you wake up in the morning, you can check your...
That's why he has guns, though, I bet.
If my battery dies while I'm asleep...
Right.
Then the backup is the phone.
Or the
phone.
service. Now, you know, I think I'm arguing a very...
Don't get mad, Wendell.
I'm arguing a very logical point here. If you have a backup hardline...
Wendell, what if you have a stroke? What if you have a heart attack?
Then how am I gonna dial a phone?
It'll be of no use anyway. But if you, what I'm saying is,
what if you were like?
Well, I haven't finished the whole thing. I was going to say, if the service is wacky, which it can be with cell phones, no matter how good the area is, then you have your hard line at your house as a backup, where even if you're sleeping, you can certainly retrieve a message.
I mean, if the company wants to put a phone in my home, then fine.
But for me,
I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't care.
It's a luxury that you can live without.
Yeah.
Do you view a telephone in your home as a luxury or as a necessity to work?
A luxury?
A luxury.
Mm-hmm.
Could they? Here's a question. Mm-hmm. Could they IM you instead of calling you?
If I was online, but I'm not always online.
Not always. Yeah. Hold on, Robbie. Yeah, what?
Do you enjoy, in a way, being unreachable at times?
I'm unaccustomed to it. I mean, for 4 years, I had my own cell phone that I paid for here to make
right.
make it so the company could get hold of me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that cost me like $2,500.
Sure.
And
was it one of those real big ones? Is that why it cost so much?
It was solid gold.
No, over that time.
Total.
Oh, okay.
That's not bad over that time.
Over 5 years or four years, 5 years.
Yeah. But I mean, when we had just me here, when Mike Friedman left and they didn't hire anybody because
right.
it was urgent to, I wound up taking that phone.
Huh?
We need to be urgent.
Yeah, well.
When we get around to it.
Yeah, remember, lastly, comma. To develop a sense of urgency.
We need to develop a sense of urgency. So,
but it's nice to be able to not be reached, right? At certain times?
Sometimes.
Yeah. But when do you're an engineer, though.
Yeah, that's part of the gig.
When something breaks, though, I mean, after reading this, I'm fascinated as always by you.
Huh?
You're a puzzle that I can never seem to put together.
An enigma wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in a tortilla?
Yes, you are. However, I'd have to urge you as a friend, you know, at least in this way, bow to conformity. Get a phone.
Why?
Because
for a backup.
Because you need it
for a backup.
Because one day this crappy station we work in it's really going to blow up.
Well, I live in the neighborhood. I look for the mushroom cloud on the horizon.
And if you have two phone numbers, if you have a hard line at home, you could use that really for your social life.
Why would I want a telephone for a social life?
Okay.
What, are you talking about calling sex lines?
Yeah.
I'm saying, for example, could give someone...
I mean, I know you've been separated for a while, Mike, but I didn't think you were that bad off.
No, that's not what I'm saying, but thank you for that, Wendell. I'm saying it's moronic not to have a home telephone for a backup, and also you could separate your business from your personal life.
I don't do that anyway.
All right, Wendell, here's the
assumption.
Here's the question. What if...
Mm-hmm.
Your place catches on fire and you have to call 911. What do you do when you got to call 911?
You go to a neighbor's house. You don't call from a burning house. You get out. It's on fire.
Yeah.
That's a good one from Rob. How do you order Domino's or Chinese food? How do you do it? I don't. You don't? Okay. You're living without. All right, Wendell.
So how long have you not had a home phone?
6-8 months.
So you had one.
Yeah, and it was no use to me. All I got was telemarketing calls.
Yeah, there's a reason that's escaping me right now that actually you should have a hard line. You should have a hard line in your house.
You should just have a hard line just because.
I know.
Just because.
More people are dumping
them. You can't order pay-per-views on DirecTV without a phone line.
Right. There you go, Robbie. That's
how do you order pay-per-views?
Once again, well, as with the 900 numbers, I don't.
But you say you're never home. You're never home. I think that's an overstatement, don't you? I mean, you're home.
I'm home from time to time, but I mean, I don't spend an awful lot of time there.
I think I track with what he's doing. In his own way,
frankly, I'm here a lot.
He's Dennis Hopper for a new era,
mm-hmm.
for a new generation. He refuses to conform. He refuses to adapt, to assimilate.
But of course, if they said you need, you know, if the powers that be said you have to have a home line,
then fine, I'll go get a home line.
Right. So, I mean, it's not like a deal breaker. It's not I wouldn't want anyone
I'm
to
not
think,
on a crusade to get rid of. Phone.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want anyone to think you're being difficult.
what about your commercial that's currently running for, is it for hair plugs or for goo that you put in your hair?
Medical hair restoration, yeah.
How'd you get roped into that one?
It was Jonathan Westmoreland.
That's a sales guy?
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who looks like James Carville.
Are you using the product?
Not yet.
What will the product entail?
It involves transplantation of hair from where it's growing to where it's not growing.
Oh, wow. Hair plugs.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Now, have you researched all of this and before you committed, or did they just throw you a check and say, do it?
Now, listen,
a check.
You didn't get a check? You're just getting the process for free?
I don't know just what's going to happen yet. I haven't.
Well,
you've done a commercial, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
the commercial says I'm going to find out about it, and that's what I'm going to do.
I mean, this is a compliment. You know, if they're looking for someone around the station, why the hell didn't they go to Rob? I
mean,
take a good look. He's bald.
That's right.
I mean, he's bald. I mean, I got a bald spot. You got a bald spot. Rob is...
And he had hair laser treatment.
Yeah, they could have just moved that.
Yeah.
Relocation.
All right, Wendell, so the story is you don't have a home telephone.
Right.
You're refusing to get one unless they absolutely push you on it.
Well, I mean, if it's that important to them, fine, whatever.
Okay.
But
lastly,
Are you developing a sense of urgency?
I am.
Lastly.
Very good.
I am, belatedly.
And
as long as it lasts.
And one last thing here. Could you please, currently, the list for us, the handguns and other guns that you own now. What do you currently own?
Oh, jeez.
Now, even me might want to give us just a number.
How many you got, Wendell?
I don't know.
Under 50?
Yeah, under 50.
Okay. Over 25?
I don't think so.
Really?
Under 25.
How many handguns?
Most of them.
Most of them are handguns?
Mm-hmm. I'm a pistol shooter.
10?
Probably. I mean, in 84, I took 14th place in the National Law Enforcement Explorer Pistol Championship.
Very good.
So,
very good.
And, but I've been a pistol shooter all my life.
Right.
How many rounds of ammo you got at any given time?
No, I don't know. Thousands. Well, I mean, the 22s come 500 to a brick.
Because you never know when you're going to need to shoot 500 times at somebody.
Well, they're just cheaper that way. It's like 10 bucks.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I'll tell you, there are a lot of people around here that you know, you say what you will about Wendell, that wouldn't come in here and subject themselves to this.
Now, you don't have...
That's what I dig about Wendell Hall.
You,
so you're saying
I'm complimenting you? No, I'm complimenting you because I'm afraid that you're going to kill me if you snap one day.
So you don't have a telephone, but you have internet. But do you have a DSL line?
Cable.
Cable. Modem. All right, so you got the cable modem.
So he's, the phone company just getting nothing
from you. Mm-hmm. Nothing from you.
Right.
All right, there he is, Wendell Hall, our engineer. And Wendell, really seriously, thank you for the help with the computer back there.
Oh, sure, yeah. Just, let us know how it goes. I'm sure there's stuff we're going to find that needs tweaked from
now. Well, if there's a problem, I'll call you at home.
Well, there you go. Thank you.
Yeah, call him on his hard line.
I'll call you. Yeah. Okay.
Bring me right up.
All right, bye.
There he goes.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Wendell Hall. Wendell Smoot Hall.
Our engineer, Wendell Hall. Man, oh man. One of these days.
Occasionally. Those kind of appearances where he's completely under control, those are the ones that scare me.
It's only because I warned him. I went up to him in advance and said, hey, thank you for passing along this email. Is it okay to read it today?
Why do I need a hub? There's really no need for that. All right, but I understand that you're talking about it. You've been separated a while, Mike. And you're number one on my list. When I come in here with the fucking guns, I'm going between your eyes.
Winner!
The whole notion, somehow he paralleled the notion of him needing a phone to needing pornography.
What? What?
He paralleled his need for a phone
he's not
acquiring pornography.
What?
He paralleled his need for a phone for needing pornography.
I can't hear you, what?
I'm going to be with him up on the roof in a minute.
We got a break now. Robbie, when we come back, the guy from Sack of Tomatoes and the guy with the restaurant in Sacramento.
Free food for bald people every Wednesday.
Hello. Right, hello, Sacramento.
I'll be right over.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right, right.
Hello.
That's why you, sir, are the greatest man in show business.
Wait till you hear what they done did. The Don and Mike Show.
No, we didn't. Let's see. What do we've got stuff to give away. We've got, what is it? Oh, an Apple iPod we're giving away every day this week. We'll do it before the end of today's show. From BMW iPod, your BMW.com is what I'm supposed to read.
Right.
We'll have a lady today who's been on Extreme Makeover. She's on Extreme Makeover tonight. Tonight's her big reveal. Tonight.
Ah, ooh.
She's had 48 different procedures.
Oh, my God. I'm going to ask her what the time frame was.
So if you watch Extreme Makeover, she's the broad that will be revealed tonight. She's the swan tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, we'll continue with our weekly coverage of The Amazing Race.
Good.
Later this week, Martha Stewart's prison advisor and sentencing consultant.
Sentencing consultant?
You bet your ass.
What, you mean somebody that tells her what she thinks she's going to get or what?
For instance, the guy told her, you might get up to 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now that she's got 5 months, the guy's telling her, you could either do it all at once, or we could gamble and we can try to draw this thing out, and we might be able to put off going to jail for 7, 8, maybe 9 more months.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, maybe one of these appeals
we'll win and get some of the time knocked.
I was saying 7, 8, or 9 years, and then by that time you might be so senile you wouldn't even notice.
Well, right. Yeah, or months or whatever.
Or the worst, Rob, yes.
That's right.
But she sleeps with the fishes.
And also, and the pickle lady's coming back on the show.
Oh.
Pickle lady. Yeah, I know, you're excited about that. Pickle lady coming back on the show.
Pickle lady.
This is from Austria. I'll call this guy at Sacramento in just 1 second, Rob. This is from Austria, where they love Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen this. They have a stamp that they're issuing on July 30.
That is it worth?
It is worth 1 euro, which is currently about, I think, $1.30, something like that.
Oh, that's good.
Here's what the stamp will look like. Look at it. It's a big dumb him with the American flag behind him.
Meet a big serious expression on his face.
Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
This
yeah,
is
way
my
to go.
Stamp. Einen Stamp with 1 euro.
So the California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger can expect a 1 euro birthday gift.
Lick it.
From the Postal Service.
Ah, lick it.
incidentally, July 30 is his 57th birthday.
So. I recommend when you use that that stamp and stuff, instead of using your tongue, use a moist sponge.
And now to celebrate Arnold Schwarzenegger and all he stands for, here's the young Schwarzeneggers.
What we have here is the singing group with the great voices singing the old standards that I grew up with.
The girly man. hold on, Martha Stewart. I got something about Martha Stewart here that I wanted to share with you.
Best of all.
You know, before I find the Martha Stewart stuff, what's the thing I saw about Jamie Foxx? Okay, he's in a movie with, is he in the Tom Cruise movie?
Yeah, he plays the cab driver.
Right.
He just hosted the ESPYs recently.
And doesn't Tom Cruise look creepy with that gray hair or whatever he's for that movie? He looks
creepy but kind of neat, too.
I agree.
Yeah.
A good, different look for Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise is slowly turning into Ben Stiller's impression of Tom Cruise.
Jamie Foxx, who's in this new movie with Tom Cruise, has been cited by his neighbors. They've called the cops to his house.
Oh, no.
Because of the nude basketball games.
See.
Now, this to me sounds about as queer as he says, it's just he and the homies getting together.
Oh no!
It's late at night. Who really needs the baggy shorts?
No.
Who really needs the shirts? And besides,
don't talk your way out of that.
Who needs the jock?
Now that's gross.
Here's the quote. He wrote a letter to his neighbors who called the cops. Hello. That's how it begins.
Right.
Hello.
Uh-huh.
And Rob, you're right. It's a dead-on impression that I do.
Very good.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Hello.
Really.
To all my neighbors, I want to say, I'm sending gift baskets to you. I used to play nude basketball in the back for clinical reasons, to release the soul. Part of my fence was down there, and I didn't know that lady and her family were there. I've been watching for hours. I wanted to stop, the woman said. And stop it will. Signed, Jamie Foxx.
So he's saying he's not going to do it anymore.
Right, and he wrote a letter back to the lady that wrote a letter to the cops, and he's playing naked basketball.
You know, even if you're doing it... even if you're doing it by yourself, if you're out there, you know, shooting some hoops, but...
Spaggy!
Doing it with the homies...
Shorts and skins.
Yeah, but what do you do then, Buzz?
Yeah.
I mean, because they're playing nude.
Yeah, right.
I mean, how would you possibly identify who's on your
do
team?
You, when you're all
by, circumcised or uncircumcised?
You'll know. When you're all by yourself in your home, do you ever parade around naked?
Not often, and I'll tell you why. Because I got a lot of mirrors in my house. I don't need to see that.
Right.
You know,
that's exactly the reason I do.
Listen to him.
Yeah.
Oh.
The worst thing for me is if I happen to be in my wife's bathroom,
right,
where she's got like the mirrors with every angle, and she's got that round mirror that you could turn around and it magnifies.
Mm.
If I happen to be in there and just catch a glimpse, like if I open the medicine cabinet and you know you get that thing where it's like you're in the Twilight Zone where you see yourself 25
right.
different times.
Right.
If I get a look at myself, sometimes I really go, oh, Christ.
Oh, my God.
How do I ever get a woman to come into bed with me, much less stay married for me to 23 years.
I was sitting out on my front porch.
I don't like seeing myself.
And fully clothed in my front porch in the morning before I had taken a shower on a weekend morning, and I left my cell phone out on the front porch. I'm just getting ready to get into my shower, and I realize, hey, I'd like to have the cell phone in the bathroom because I was expecting some calls.
Sure. Right.
I dash down the hallway, and I decide at that moment, you know, I'm just going to go on my front porch. I have to walk along the front of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at that very moment, of course, that the minivan, once again, there's a minivan. The minivan came down the big driveway in front of my house. And I know they had to see me buck naked. I mean, but I was doing the mad dash, but the timing could not have been. I was fully aware of the fact that a car might come by. But I figured the odds were with me, and the car came by at that very moment. And it was at that moment that I stopped. Turned around,
preened,
and gave them a salute.
Hi there.
Hi.
The place is O'Mara's.
Would you like to come up for
Thanks. A look around cafe?
A morning cup of coffee. And of course, yes, I'm always naked there.
Yeah.
That's a given. With an apron.
Wow. You know, the wonderful gypsies were all at my house today. The cleaning gypsies.
You have a lot of that.
That come twice a week. They're all really nice ladies. Most of them speak the language very well, and they couldn't be sweeter. They never catch me nude. However, they see me in ways that's worse than seeing me naked, because these are the women.
Are you like me? Do you wear your cellophane apron?
These are the women who do laundry.
Ah.
And it ain't a pretty sight. It really ain't. I know, you know, the old show, I would go deep into depth on this. I cannot go into depth on it now.
So you don't throw away?
No. And Mike, frankly, no.
You don't simply, knowing that some other people are going to be handling your unmentionables, simply throw them away?
No. I simply, on the occasions that I do laundry myself, mm-hmm. I bleach to the max.
Right.
But it's still, it's not enough. It's not enough. You can still see that.
You might want to think about increasing the budget. You know,
for what? For underpants?
Just to keep them coming, keep them fresh.
You know, I'm one of those guys. I like the old frayed ones. The ones that feel good.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like, not that I'm dropping the name, but Calvin Klein, those to me are the best fitting underpants.
See, I would think that, have you ever been inclined to do a soak before you throw something into the hamper? Have you ever done a soak?
No, what good would that do?
The job, I had a need for a soak, and what I did was like just a little hand soap. Just a little. It's really what it is. It's pre-treating. Knowing that my housekeeper would be handling.
No, I'm not going to wash my underpants just so my underpants are not seen by the housekeeper in such bad shape.
I had to.
Now, when you soak, it's after you've taken them off, though.
Of course not.
Okay, anyway, here's the Martha Stewart thing. I did some research. What can she really expect in jail?
Okay.
Really, because everybody really wants to know.
Love.
It's at Danbury, Connecticut, where she's going to be.
So she is going to the country club.
Yes. Well, Mike, hold on a second. Hold on. I want to tell you about this. It ain't really a country club.
It used to be. It was back in the Watergate area. Right. It was.
Now she has to pay. She got to pay $30,000. She got to be 5 months in the hoosegow and 5 months in her house.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. When she's in house arrest, she'll wear, like we said, just this thing on her arm or her leg. But she's got 150 acres.
Right.
Now, what about when she gets home? She can have a phone. It's after she gets out of jail. She can have a phone, but she can't have a cordless phone. And she can't have a phone with caller ID. She can't have call forwarding, and she can't have call waiting.
Wow.
The reason for this is they don't want her to do any business from home. Of course, she'll find a way around it.
Of course
now,
she will.
Now, when she goes, she'll go to the Danbury Federal Correctional Unit. Mike, you might want to know that Jigor and Liddy spent some quality time there.
There you go, brother. Fantastic.
Martha will get a job in the prison that she's suited for.
Mm-hmm.
Prison officials have already said
sex slave.
Oh. Kitchen duty.
Right.
Duty.
They say it is hard work preparing gruel or porridge.
Really?
They still serve that stuff?
They do.
Gruel.
The job starts at 5 a.m. every day, and Martha Stewart will earn 12 cents an hour.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. If she is a good inmate, she will be able to use the walking track, the volleyball court, and the crafts classes. Martha will not be allowed to decorate her cell. She is only allowed 4 photographs in her lockers. The good news is that in some parts of the Danbury Federal Correctional Unit, the inmates with their the cleanest cells get to eat their dinner first.
Well, that's nice.
So that's about it for the whole 5 months.
That's it.
What does her job pay?
12 cents. I know, it's more.
I was going to say, it's an infinity-owned prison.
And the four pictures, of course, will all be her.
Yeah, so anyway, that's Martha Stewart.
Three of her, one of Don.
And last night on Larry King, boy, did she crack my ass up. And once again, just what cojones she's got.
Did she crack your ass up by trying to be funny? Was she just being serious Martha?
No, she was serious and selling her stuff. And she's just great. She's great. Give her 12 cents an hour.
Mm-hmm. You know, she's here's what concerns me. I think that she's putting up the incredibly tough front that I can handle anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that tells me that she probably doesn't know what she's in for.
Right.
I think she's going to have a tougher time dealing with the prison. You'll probably never hear about it, but she's going to have, or you may, depending on the tabloids, but I think she's going to have a much tougher time.
I bet she ends up postponing it as long as she possibly
can.
Absolutely. Because I saw one of the people on one of the channels saying, you know, if she went today, she'd be out in time for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if it was me, I think, man, you know, come on, you got to do it eventually. Just get it there.
Right. Get it done right now. You've been through this hell.
Right.
And then, you know, also, I think if she delays it, you're going to hear more negative about her than if she, right now, I think really, as far as damage control is concerned, just like you said, I don't think you're the only one that reacts that way, that you say, hey, she's kind of ballsy.
Yeah, do it.
Get it over with.
Just go sign yourself up, make your 12 cents an hour.
Right.
Oh. And enjoy. And from Sacramento, California.
Incidentally, Joe Ardinger has applied for a job at the prison.
That's the race.
From Sacramento, California, where we broadcast every day on KHTK. There's a restaurant known to bald people all over Northern California because if you're bald, you get to eat free.
Huh. On every day?
Nope, just on Wednesdays.
Wednesday?
Just on Wednesdays. I have no idea what we're going to talk to this guy about, but he's expecting our call.
It's very exciting.
and he's from Sacramento, you know. The thing is, it's got to be a really totally bald guy. You can't have the Jean-Luc Picard thing.
You can't have any hair at all.
You got to be all bald.
Gary.
Hey, hi, Gary. It's Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hi. You knew we were going to call you, right?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. How's everything going?
Hi. It's going great. How'd you get this fantastic idea?
Well, I'm a bald guy myself.
Uh-huh.
We bought the restaurant about 3 months ago.
And how many times has Grant Napier been in? Every Wednesday?
Yeah, I think he's, and he actually came in for lunch and then came back for dinner.
Wow. Bingo.
Uh-huh.
Is he a bald guy?
I don't know. He's the guy that we hate at Sacramento, though.
Oh, okay.
I'm guessing, you know that guy. That,
yeah.
Hey, I'm Grant Napier, Don Mike Stain.
Yeah, pull a casino. Yeah, pull a casino in his food.
So, how many, that's good, I wish they would. How many bald guys came in last Wednesday for free food?
Oh, probably about maybe 40.
40? So you got, now what Don said is like you can't have any hair, right? No hair at all?
No, you get a discount based on how much hair you have. So if you're half bald, you get half price.
Oh. Wow. And so a cue ball guy that's got a shaved head would eat for free?
Absolutely, either lunch or dinner.
Can he have anything on the menu?
We have a great menu we put together for the bald guys, and it's kind of the best things on our menu.
Oh, that kind of means you couldn't order anything you wanted. But what's the best thing a bald guy could order today, Tuesday? What's the best thing a bald guy could order tomorrow in your restaurant?
Our best steak, our house steak that we have on the menu.
Well, there you go. So I would imagine that anybody finding a hair in their entree would really have a problem, right?
Yeah. Yeah, our cooks all have hair, that's for sure.
And what's the going rate on the best steak in your joint?
It's $14.95.
So I'm amazed. How are you?
That's a good deal.
How are you making any money on this if you got 40 guys a week, 40 bald guys coming and just socking it away?
Oh, everybody brings their friends and family, and most of the bald guys are pretty popular. So they've got 5 or 6 people at their table,
and alcohol is not included, right?
No, correct. You have to pay for your beverages, yeah.
Ah, that's how he's making his money.
Just the food. All right, Gary, well, listen, thank you for your time.
All right, thank you.
And in the great tradition of thank you, sir. And in the great tradition of Sacramento and all things Sacramento, you will please to be noting that we never gave the name of the establishment.
No.
We never.
That may have been the whole purpose for the call.
Never gave
Never gave the day.
And he has more than enough hair down there.
Yeah. Let's clear these lines out. Rob wrote me a prompt that I wouldn't read. The last thing Rob wanted me to say to the guy is, P.S., we hate Sacramento. Now, that's not true.
That's pretty simple.
No, that's not true.
I give you the same prompt every day.
I know. We hate Sacramento. Phone scan time right now. Listen, anybody, any loser out there can call this show.
Oh, yeah.
877-365-3636. Winners can call as well. It just seems they don't get through as often.
That's right.
From Canada, the phone number is 800-636-1067. National number is 877-365-3636. These are on-screen telephone calls, random and rapid fire. The phone scan lies straight ahead, so dial recklessly.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Paul? Trey says he's never been fishing before. So can he and I take turns with my fishing pole?
All right. Better still, I'll let him have one of my poles, and then you can both have one.
Gee, thanks, Sheriff. You can let him use your pole, Paul? The big one?
Sure. But you all got to get some sleep.
It's a disturbing episode of Andy of Mayberry.
Yeah.
Listen to what Andy says now.
Oh, yeah.
I know. One ought to come in my room.
Okay, Paul.
Oh, no, wait a minute. You go, Trey. You stay in your own bed.
Trey gonna sleep in your bed, Paul?
Now, don't worry about it.
Yeah, see now, Opie says to Paul...
Is my best friend going to sleep in your bed, Paul?
And Andy, Paul says, yeah, he's going to sleep in my bed with me. Now, you go back in your own bed, Opie.
Apparently, Trey is everybody's best friend.
First thing in the morning.
I'll
bring him in as soon as he dozes off. Go to sleep.
Bye, Hope.
Who knew?
Did we ever find out if Andy ever brought him back?
Broadcasting from the right side of the dirt, the Don and Mike Show.
Nope. Missing Trey and his pole. Just ahead of a phone scan. Let me place a very quick call to Cinderella because I have a question for her about this lady. I don't know, with the reality shows... I don't know if we have seen this one or not. I know
okay.
She watched the other one that we had the girl on from, the For Lover. Hi, baby.
Oh, it's my sweetheart.
Yes, hi, Cinderella. Listen, do you watch Extreme Makeover?
I have, and then I kind of got tired of it. I got tired of it. Then I have.
Well, the girl on in our next break, have you seen her? Her name is Katie Lent. She's on Extreme...
Lent.
Okay. She's on Extreme Makeover tonight with her big reveal. Now, what happens on the big reveal? Is that like on the Swan?
Well, yeah. I mean, it is like on the Swan. On Extreme... Let me make sure I have my shows right. On Extreme Makeover, right, they take somebody who is, they're not
ugly.
The thing about it is they're not like deformed, they're just not pulled together.
Mm-hmm. So you say.
Huh?
I'm joking.
Tonight is a magical episode, and let me tell you why.
Why, Robbie?
Because tonight it's three sisters all getting hacked up and improved.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Hey, all right, so we'll have her on in the next break.
But I had to stop watching it because it made me want to have plastic surgery.
Well, I think all those shows motivate people to have plastic surgery. I know it mm-hmm. happened with Buzz.
Baby,
that was before the show.
What's the one you watched last night where we had the girl on? And
that was For Love of Money.
Yeah, For Love or Money.
For Love or Money.
And it was right. Rachel was the girl that we had on.
And you should have her again because now she's the star of the show.
But I mentioned this to you last night when you watched it. She's not pretty.
Yeah, she's not as hot as I thought. She saw a still of her when we had her on the show, mm-hmm. and when you see the show, she's not that hot.
She's no Trista or whatever that bachelor girl was, the hot bachelor girl with all the roses, right?
I think it's the way they photograph her.
No, but haven't you always known women and men, and you two are good examples, who are not, you're not supermodels, but
what?
Boy, your
hey.
Charisma.
Hey.
Hey, hey.
But no, your charisma makes
right.
women
okay. Hello.
Fall
right.
over
not
you.
Not hearing you now, not hearing you.
La, 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 la.
All right, so
you... that women throw themselves at you, and it's based on... Mm-hmm. Your je ne sais quoi, your charisma.
Really? And let's open that door right now for the women to come in and throw themselves at
it. Yeah, it's constant for us, isn't
Rob,
it?
Rob, just leave the door propped open. And
so she might have, she might just be a charmer because the men seem to like her.
Mm. Okay, well,
I don't think it works that way with women.
The woman from speaking from experience, Mike.
I don't know.
The woman from Extreme Makeover. You never heard of her though.
I don't. No, I don't remember any of their names. I would just be amazed at they would be so, well, as you're going to find out, they would be so carved up. I mean, but they come out looking great. I mean, looking like new people. They go in looking like West Virginia and come out looking like Hollywood.
And then they have to eat through a tube.
And they are miserable when it first happens because they're chopped up every which way. I mean, I think
it's 48 surgeries she's had.
Wow.
Make sure, ask if this is the show, but I don't think that they let them look in a mirror or the whole time.
That's the swan.
Oh, do you think that's the swan?
So many.
See, you're not my reality girl TV expert.
I don't know.
All right, I'll see you later.
All right, sorry to disappoint.
That's okay. You know what? As you've said to me over the years, I'll learn to live with it. That's just another thing you effed up, Frida.
Usually while you're, you know.
What?
It's usually in a more intimate setting that I'm saying that to you.
That you're saying what to me?
I'll learn to live with it. That's great, honey.
In a more, you mean like when we're in the boudoir?
Yeah. That's all right, honey.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because I'm not like Domino's. I don't deliver every time. Is there ever?
I'll tell you, you do have one satisfied customer every single time.
And it's me.
Yeah, I know.
And I've never had to pay that ridiculous 30-minute guarantee. To me, it's like a 30-second guarantee. All right, see you later.
All right, goodbye, TV.
Oh, and listen, do I have to have a tuna steak tonight?
Judy, you told me, remember, you don't mind tuna steak because it doesn't taste fishy?
I know.
Yeah, so, yes.
Okay, crap.
Put that new hot sauce on it.
No, I
don't have the new hot sauce.
I got a fresh ginger and a little soy sauce and garlic to marinate it in.
That's the same thing with that Extreme Makeover show.
Good for you.
All right. That was procedure 42.
All right, bye, honey.
Goodbye, Boo.
Bye-bye. I guess I'll have to learn with tuna and I will learn to live with tuna steak tonight.
Is it fresh tuna?
I don't know. And she will learn to live with my tube sock full of BBs. Tonight when I go home.
Honey, I'm home.
Tuna steak. Give me a real steak. Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hey, this is the phone scan now. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, you're on the air. Anybody can call right now during the phone scan.
I got a question.
Yes. We had to delete you out.
Yeah, and we referred to that in a much more genteel way earlier that would not get us in trouble with the FCC.
Please leave the driving to us, what with this FCC crazy world that we live in now. Okay? Hello?
I think he's gone. I think perhaps maybe they're all gone.
Yeah, apparently you're not the only one.
No, apparently it was a mass button pushing here.
Yeah, that's the way it works now.
Everybody hit the button.
Mm-hmm. Back to the Selectric to write another funny.
Amen.
For goodness sakes. And now the problem with the phone system is when I hit the delay and Beth Ann hit the delay and then the guy upstairs hit the delay and the guy that's watching the guy is watching the guy. Everybody hit it at once.
Mm-hmm.
And now no telephone calls can be taken.
Not good.
We have to wait.
Not good at all.
And when I was having another one of my great meetings with the engineers, I know we've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. The only way, if everybody hits the delay button at the same time at the station, mm-hmm. and we can't take phone calls, the only way to speed up the process is for us not to speak. That...
That's
up.
What I was doing. I was just being quiet.
And there...
Is it right?
Shh. Just give it...
Well, you just... Just... You talk. You talk.
Give it a second. Just give it a second. One. Whispers.
It
can't whisper. We can't whisper.
No, there can be no sound at all.
There can be no...
Right. All right, ready? Here we go.
Okay.
Stop.
Dark. Well, now, Rob, it's not going to work.
Rob's laugh made me laugh.
Dark is like on television. We're going dark.
Oh, okay.
All right. Is it caught up yet?
Hold on. Now.
Yes.
Now we're going dark.
The first message is...
Hey, Rob. This is Robert the Mailman.
Anyway, now we went dark. Now the light's back on.
Sure.
Ah, we filled enough time.
Very good.
Hello there. Don and Mike's show. This is the phone scan.
Don Mike.
Yes, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, rock.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, yeah, I got some Sacramento that won the jackpot.
Yeah, no, you know, we asked yesterday on the show, there's some lummox out in Sacramento that won $21 million.
I thought it was $12 million.
You know, I'm dyslexic. Thank you, Mike.
$12 million, $12 million. A slot machine.
Yeah, what was it, a $1 slot machine?
Wow.
And the guy's identity is a secret. We were positive he's a listener of our show. Mm-hmm. What about him?
He's a queer.
Well, what do you base that on?
Do you know him?
No, but I saw him on TV. He's a loser.
Is he a queer or a loser?
Is he a queer or is he a loser or is he a double threat? Is he both?
He's a little both.
So he's a QL.
Yeah.
Why so bitter, sir?
But he's an RQL.
Mm-hmm. But he don't listen to you guys.
Well, now how do you know he don't listen to us guys?
He lives in Sacramento. He can't afford a phone.
And where exactly are you calling from where you can't afford a phone?
I'm calling from Modesto.
Oh, Modesto.
Yeah, Modesto's a lot different
than Sacramento. Well, that makes a big difference.
You're listening on the Sacramento station, aren't you?
Yeah, but that's the only good thing.
You know what's happening? Mike's doing the Sacramento dance right now.
Well, that's the Modesto.
Mike, you're going to have to wash your hands now, Mike. Oh. You're really going to have to wash your hands after doing that thing.
What? You took it down the primate lane.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did not know that.
I feel like I'm watching Planet of the Apes.
And, you know, not really for the Sacramento area at all, but for that guy.
Yeah. He's still here.
I did the dance for this dummy.
He's still there. Hey.
Oh. Yeah? What?
Goodbye.
Quack, quack.
Ugh. Really, God, why are there so many stupid people out there?
And I was at the phone scan yesterday.
And I don't mind there's so many stupid people out there. It's just, why is this like the show no pester?
Why does this guy think he's funny?
Yeah.
You know. Hello? He's still here. We finally lost.
Thank God he's not a queer or a loser.
In a way, it's good that they're all together, but it's true. It's bad they all come our way.
I know.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
If we could just isolate them.
Hello, please turn your radio down. Hello.
Kill them.
Hey, my boo-boos.
Hi there.
How's it going, guys?
Okay.
Listen, have you guys talked to Nancy lately?
Jim Nance.
Yeah.
Jim Nance, no. Although, I'll tell you something I read in, I think it was the Sporting News a couple of weeks ago. They had his publicity picture, you know, real big, all toothy, and it said, CBS's Jim Nance not happy about being bumped off the lead of the NFL Today.
Really?
Well, you didn't know that?
He got canned?
Oh, no, he didn't get canned. They switched him with Greg Gumbel. So now Nancy has to do games with Phil Sims, and
ouch. They fired him. They kicked him out of the studio.
Greg Gumbel got the studio job, and remember how Nancy would always talk with such reverence about how she was so excited. I mean, he was so excited to finally be doing the NFL Today on CBS.
The great tradition of the studio show, guys. I'm thrilled to death.
Rob, we talked about, when was that? When we were on vacation, right?
His initial spin was he was excited to do it. But now he's letting the truth out?
Yeah, well, it said...
Oh, boy.
In the Sporting News, it said, ooh, Jim Nance not happy.
Yeah.
We got to get him on.
Well, we've tried.
I don't know, guys.
You know, that's a negative environment, guys. I don't think I want to complain. I certainly don't want to bite the CBS hand that feeds me.
But it will be great to finally see a Houston game.
Yep, my city.
He won't be able to go. He's a season ticket. He's got to work those games with Phil Sims now.
Yeah. I can watch the game. Can I watch it?
I love my city, guys. It's fantastic. Not upset here. Looking forward to going back to from city to city instead of my home base of New York City.
After all that shilling.
Hi, friends. Jim Nance for the NFL Today. Excuse me. Jim Nance here in beautiful Buffalo.
Les, I just got the train schedule. There's going to be a lot of fun traveling.
No offense, Buffalo. I know you listen every day.
Guys, let me tell you, I'm one of a series of broadcasters over the years that has had to eat what I like to call gumbel pie.
Hi, friends. It's Jim Nance. It's cold here in New England. The wind temperature is, the wind chill is 42.
I don't know what the NFL's thinking.
Hello, I want to tell you something. I would be here any day of the, I'd rather be here in the cold with a very uncharming Phil Sims than be back in my cushy New York studio with my buddies.
Yeah.
Boomer.
Wow.
Jerry, my radio friends, Don and Mike.
Nothing I'm excited about more than racking up those frequent flyer miles, guys.
Friends. It's Jim Nance.
Like I haven't done enough for this network.
My hometown of Houston. As you know from hearing me on the Don and Mike show, it's been years and years of mine. It's been a dream to be the host of the NFL Today. And now, friends, it's all been taken away from me.
They plucked it away from me, gave it to Gumbel. I'm broken up, guys. I'm really not happy. I'm thinking about going elsewhere, maybe doing some sports casting on the WB.
I know that Phil Simms and I had a good time, friends, last night in the Inner Harbor. Hello, Baltimore.
Yeah. Wow. Think of all the great AFC cities.
Yeah.
What a great city this is. What a great city this is.
You know, being in the studio all those years, really, I was not able to capture the essence of Oakland, California, as I've been able to.
And you got it right with the National, with the American Conference.
During the last 24 hours. My God, and it's just a spin away from San Francisco.
I'll be honest with you guys, I'm not sure that Cincinnati gets the credit that it deserves. This is a beautiful place to be. It really is, and it's got a great culture.
And hold on, here's the topper, even though the weather's good.
Yeah.
Friends, Jim Nance, so happy to be in Jacksonville.
Oh.
Today, as the Texans prepare to take on the Jaguars.
Really excited to be here on the site of the Super Bowl. Yes, it's going to be Jacksonville, Florida. Really excited, guys.
I'll be calling the game. Greg Gumbel will be hosting the game.
If you'll notice, guys, right here at the front of the monitor, I've got a little Greg Gumbel voodoo doll that I'll be sticking pins in.
See this puppy doll?
You know, actually, he's not even in it this year because CBS doesn't have the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, that's right.
So that means as soon as the AFC Championship is over, that's it for Nance.
That's right. Maybe a couple of weekends down in Houston playing golf with Freddie Couples. Other than that, I'm done, guys.
And three amigos.
Don't forget his problem last year was he was worried about how cold the people were.
Yeah,
well, that's what I was saying when he was doing that. I don't know how the NFL is doing this, guys.
Do you remember before the playoff game last year, I think with the Patriots and I don't remember who it was.
I think they need to reschedule.
It was a second round game and it was very cold.
Can we get some blankets?
The wind chill was going to be like 30 below zero. And Jim Nance got on our show the Friday before the game and
these
said,
people are going to suffer.
Said, yeah. I think the NFL should postpone this game. And we said, do you have the stones to say that on CBS? And he said, yes, I do. And then on Sunday when the game came on, he said, Jim Nance here in our New York studios. I want to tell you, nothing's better than being out in the elements for a game like this in Foxborough.
I tell you, I'm pretty bummed out about this, guys. I was talking to the execs at CBS Sports. It's because I'm too white, isn't it? I'm tragically white. That's the reason.
Friends, Jim Nance, formerly anchorman for the NFL Today. Now, dare I say it, I look up on the pecking order, and there she is, Leah Remini, looking down at me, Jim Nance.
I tell you, guys, it's a heartbreaking day for me and the entire Nance family.
Guys, friends, Jim Nance here. I can't tell you how ashamed I was today when I picked up the phone and it was Mark Harmon calling. Star of Navy NCISYPYSQU saying, hey, how's it feel to be the lowest man on the totem pole at CBS?
Fellas, this is Jim Nance. I wonder how they're going to like it when I go AWOL at Augusta.
Jim Nance here, friends, and one more move like this, and I'll be throwing an ashtray at a hotel door again.
That's another thing he told us he did.
Sweet revenge, boys.
I'm wrapped tight, and now I'm wrapped even tighter.
Mm. Yeah, so Nancy got demoted at CBS.
That's a shame.
See you on the roof, Wendell.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey.
Hi there. You're on the air. Hi.
How's it going?
It's going great, thank you.
Oh, fantastic. I couldn't tell if it was me or not. I just called to say hey. And, I was wondering about if you guys were ever going to give that iPod away.
If we were ever going to give the iPod away.
No, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. What's that?
Yeah. Hold on. What were you going to say? Because I was going to say, hey, we're going to give it away.
You are going to give it away?
Yeah, but tell me more. Why were you interested in the iPod?
Well, I'm not that interested because my luck's not very good, but...
Would you like it?
I would love to have it.
Yeah.
Well, how bad would you like to have it?
Pretty bad.
I mean, you know, I'm not asking you to do anything crazy, but like on a scale of 1 to 10, how important would it be for you to win an iPod?
I think 10.
A 10? So you want it more than pretty anything important in the world?
Well... I'll give it a 9.5.
What would you say?
I'd probably be like a 7.
What would you say to the listeners who are listening to you now saying, oh, listen, tell that woman just hang up and be the 100th caller when they give away the prize?
I didn't realize you had to be the 100th caller.
For many of our contests, that's the way it works.
Or we could do a special for you for Queen of the Day. I mean, why do you deserve an iPod?
I don't know. I work hard. Macs are cool.
Can you check your memory banks and think if any time in your life you've ever been deprived of anything?
Yeah, let me tell you a story.
Oh, dear, here we go.
Come on, make it a short one.
All right, so check it out. We're at the McDonald's. Me and my brother, when we were like 5 years old,
I like
right?
this. Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
I sold out like 100 raffle tickets for this bike.
Uh-huh.
10 speed, nice bike. He put one ticket in the pot, man, and he got it.
Your brother did?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Where, hey, where's your...
I don't have that going for me. What's that?
Are you still friends with your brother? I mean, of course you're friends, but I mean, are you close with him?
Sort of. I don't know. I talk to him probably like every 2 months.
Where does he live?
He lives in L.A.
He lives in L.A.?
Yeah.
How would it be?
I'm in...
Yeah, where are you, honey?
I'm in Harrisonburg.
Harrisonburg, Virginia?
Yeah.
What's your brother's name?
Tim.
And he lives in Los Angeles?
Yep.
Well, you're going to love this. We're going to send him an iPod.
Well, no, we're serious. We're going to
send your brother an Apple iPod from BMW. Control freaks rejoice. BMW and Apple have created the first seamless integration of iPod and Ride. Go to iPodYourBMW.com. Honey, you don't win this, but your fantastic brother does.
What's your brother's name?
It's Tim Evans.
Tim Evans.
I can't believe you guys. I don't want to get bleeped out, so I'm just going to keep
Tim
my
Evans
mouth
wins
shut.
The iPod. His sister Linda does not.
Okay. Thank you, Linda. Now,
it's
Mary, if you'll hold on for just a second, we need to get your brother's address and phone number.
You don't mind.
So we can send him his iPod.
I might be able to do that. Yeah. Okay, hold on.
All right. Thank That's you, honey. Nice. Now, listen, don't hang up. That would not be the nice thing to do.
I won't, I swear.
Okay. Thank
you. What a windfall day for Tim Evans.
Hold on.
I tell you what.
He's so lucky.
He's lucky in so many ways.
And thank you for the story about the McDonald's raffle of the 10 speed.
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. Okay, hold on a second.
Okay, bye.
Hold on. Joe, really get the information from her.
Joe.
We'll send that poor schmuck an iPod.
I wonder why Tim Evans moved geographically as far away from Harrisonburg as he could.
I don't know.
Make sure you tell Tim Evans that came from us and not Mary.
Don and Mike show. Tell him it's his lucky day, just like at McDonald's when he won that 10 speed bike. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi. It's going great, thank you. You're on the air.
Hey, how come you guys don't have any calls from Louisiana?
Are you from Louisiana?
Yes, sir.
You have just contradicted yourself.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. That was the right response.
Many times it doesn't say where they're from.
Right.
Hold on a second. Let's go back to the lady. Hello. What's the problem here, Linda or Mary, whatever your name is?
Florida.
It's, I'm in my car, and I don't have my brother's address or his phone number.
Liar!
You don't?
No, I mean,
you don't?
Serious,
hold on.
I swear to God.
You
I
mean
swear.
you don't have a Palm Pilot with you? You don't have an address book?
I'm on my cell phone, but I can tell you what. I've been on my cell phone
Hold on. Do you know your mom's number by heart?
Yeah, I sure do.
Yeah, now couldn't you give your mom... Thanks, Mike. There's good thinking. Couldn't you give your mom's number to Joe and we'll call and... Hey, you know what? As a matter of fact...
That's fine. That's
as a matter of fact... Hold on.
Okay.
For your mom, where's your mom live?
She lives in Richmond. Are you going to give her an iPod too?
Yeah.
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 You're killing me. You're killing me.
And you know the good thing about that is that your mom. How old your mom?
Oh, I'm sure to know that. She's 48.
48. Yeah,
she's young enough to enjoy it.
I was going to say, you know, she might be too old to enjoy it, but
yeah. 48's fine.
She'd be fine with that. Yeah. So both your mom and your brother will both get iPods from BMW.
And you guys are great. I love you guys.
Yes, we are. Thank you. We are. We really are great.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
That's fantastic.
Good job.
Hold on a second, and that's something for your mom and something for your brother.
All
because you called and you just, I see there's the iPod. And yeah, you want the iPod? Yeah, the iPod. Okay, hold on, please.
All right.
We need your mommy's phone number. We need mommy. And let's get one last call. We got to get out of here. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, it's Dave from Baltimore.
Hi, Dave.
I just wanted to see if Rob had seen Eurotrip.
Well, that's a movie that was out like, what, a year ago. Rob, have you seen Eurotrip?
I have not seen it.
He has not seen it.
Oh, there is this funny little German kid that I think he would absolutely adore.
Hi. From Germany. Never forget. The Don and Mike show.
Okay, what was this now?
This kid from Germany, he starts goose-stepping all over the place. I just thought...
I want to go to Rob's website for that, www.htw.com.
I appreciate the tip. Have you ever seen Triumph of the Will?
Sorry, no.
There's a lot of funny Germans in that, too.
You were the last caller on the phone, Cat.
I love it when Rob does the Lenny Riefenstahl humor.
You've got the HBO Entourage prize pack. Don't miss the all-new episode of HBO's comedy series Entourage, Sunday night at 10, 9 Central, only on Home Box Office. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening to the show in Baltimore on Live 105.7.
I love the divers.
When we come back...
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. When we come back, Katie Lent. All I know is she's on Extreme Makeover tonight.
She will be speaking to us like this.
She's got her big reveal.
Merry Christmas.
And she's next.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm mad. I am mad enough, and yet still very self-conscious. But I'm going to write a book, and I'm going to talk. I wanted to believe, and I tried my damnedest to believe in the rainbow that I tried to get over, and I couldn't. So what?
The Don and Mike Show. Goodbye, the Don and Mike Show.
All right, well, they're getting Katie Lent on. 60 seconds here. I'll tell you about tomorrow, along with the people from The Amazing Race, the losers, we're going to have Joe going out. Here's the setup. Joe's going to go to Fahrenheit 9/11 tonight.
Okay.
Or he's not actually going to go to the movie. He's going to wait for people to leave the movie so he can interview.
He's doing his man on the street interview.
Uh-huh. Ah. Hi, Jomo's.
Yes.
Hi, may I ask you a few questions for CBS Radio? Now, keeping in mind the coming out of Fahrenheit 9/11, in one sentence, what did you think of the movie? Second question, did you think the movie will affect the upcoming election? Third question, in the movie you saw, wasn't Tobey Maguire wonderful?
There you go.
Fourth question, what snacks did you enjoy in the theater? Uh-huh. Fifth question, I'm proud of this one. In the theater you just left, what do you think made the floor so sticky? Number six, do you think that Spider-Man could help fight terrorism?
Uh-huh. You know, this is a wonderful conjuring that we're
Number
doing
Number seven,
here.
Did you enjoy the role that Michael Moore played? He was Doc Ock. Number eight, seriously, who will you vote for? George Bush or Drew Carey? Number nine, will Oscar like Osama? Number ten, what message did Spider-Man teach you in the movie that you enjoyed today? And finally, will you go to see Fahrenheit 9/12? And we're going to get a bunch of tight asses tonight coming out of the...
Sure. Theater.
And we'll get our man...
Joe.
Joe out there. And you'll hear, you know, the best he can do. It's Trainwreck Radio. We love Jomo.
Yeah, and it's coming out of that movie. You know, that movie does have an emotional impact. So
yeah,
it should
does.
Be interesting.
Yeah. Joining us now, we got her, it's Katie Lent. Katie, I didn't realize you were on hold. I apologize. Hello.
Oh, hello. It's no problem. I've been listening to you.
Here she is, Katie Lent. Now, the show is on tonight on ABC, right? 8 o'clock, the makeover show, Extreme Makeover?
Yes, it is.
Tonight, that's 8 Eastern and 7 Central.
And you have had...
ABC.
You've had an incredible amount of work done, right?
Oh, yes. We all have. Isn't that lovely?
How are you feeling?
Wonderful.
Now, it's you and two sisters who have had... How many total surgeries?
Oh, shoot, I couldn't tell you. Isn't that nice? I don't know. I know that we've had, I think, like 48 or something.
What was the biggest procedure that you had done? Was it a nose job?
No, actually it wasn't. My neck was the worst. I was the worst of the gobble girls.
Oh, hold on. Beth Ann, who watches the show, has written me the following bit of prep.
Oh, good.
That you have Frances, Jenny, and Catherine. These are the three sisters. Mm-hmm. And they call themselves the gobble girls.
Because of their turkey necks?
Yes.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
They're all very, and you all look very similar. You're not like twins or triplets, but you all look very similar, right?
Oh, we're sisters. We all have the same bad genes.
And they all have the same turkey necks. That would be the number one thing that they said that they wanted to change was the turkey neck.
Now, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 44.
44.
Mm-hmm.
And your sisters, they younger, older, about the same?
I'm in the middle, but 145 and 140.
Right. Honey, what in God's name makes you and your sisters sign up? I think most people that watch these shows want to know, what makes you sign up to be operated on by strange. I'm, you know, and I'm guessing ABC tells you that they hire the best, but
right.
Oh, no, actually, I've checked up, and he is, like, literally one of the absolute best. I would never, ever have done this without doing that. Are you kidding?
Were you really so bad off that you had to go to a TV show, or is this something you wanted?
Oh, no. Well, shoot, bad off. If I were to pay for it, it would have cost me. It would cost us, like, $750,000 to get this work done.
How much? Oh.
That's, like, how much it was.
Three quarters of a million?
If you've ever watched the show, you'd see it's a positive thing, not a negative thing at all.
Yeah, hold on.
Anything to be afraid of.
Honey, we're not coming down on you. I'm just
telling you, it's a real positive thing. It really is positive.
$750,000. Yeah. You and your don't take offense at this.
You and your
sisters must be 20 different shades of ugly.
Wow.
I mean, 700. And
he's expensive. The guy we went to.
What is the most? Well, now, do they itemize the procedures for you when they say that?
They don't.
They don't. So you don't have. Do you have any ballpark idea?
I don't know what his procedures cost, but I know our teeth what they cost. I know, like, just for, and that's including that also.
Did you get the veneers?
And like my teeth alone cost $32,000 at least.
Wow. So did you get the Da Vinci veneers?
Yes, I did. I have beautiful teeth.
Good for you. Man, those Da Vinci veneers are expensive.
They are.
What did you have before? Like chiclets or
No, crooked teeth.
Yeah, how much filing and or pulling?
Filing? It's unbelievable the amount of filing.
Is it excruciatingly painful?
That's the only thing that was painful. It wasn't as bad as I expected it would, because I really don't like the dentist, but the dentist is great.
Did they give you the farms though after that? I mean, did they give you the Rush Limbaugh pills?
They took care of us. Are you kidding me? Yeah, they took care of us.
Okay. What is, as far as the recovery? What was the most painful part of the recovery?
We had two surgeries for us, and the facelift was, like, nearly no pain. I mean, literally no pain at all. And then, but that was a 12-hour surgery, so that's unrealistic, but I'm not, it's the truth. It really was painless.
Wow.
Now, we had the second surgery that was like a tummy tuck and an uplift.
And the tummy tuck, I've watched on other programs, the tummy tuck seems to be the most painful because you can't stand up.
That was what was the most painful. But it wasn't as, my sisters, I was a little jealous because they had no pain with the tummy tuck, and I did.
Mm. Now, the show tonight, we see the reveal.
Oh, yeah, you'll see the reveal. Now,
up to this point, you haven't seen it. Obviously, this is a taped show.
Oh, yeah.
You've already seen yourself. Without giving away, I guess you're going to be happy on the show tonight. How happy were you when you first saw the new you?
I was thrilled to death.
Did you have?
How many women get to start over when they're 44? You know, I'm 44 and I look great.
Did you have a weight problem before this?
Yeah, I never had a weight problem until I hit that rotten age of 35, you know?
Right.
And I gained like 25, 30 pounds and couldn't lose it. But I did. I've lost it now and I will not gain it back.
Could I be so bold? May I ask, did you have breast augmentation?
Yeah, you can be bold. Other people have asked. Yeah, no, I haven't. We had reductions because we had already been blessed with too big of breasts.
Oh, so you had breast reduction surgery.
Yeah. So we have nice young breasts now.
Oh, wow.
And it was nice.
And did you have, now you had your breast, you had the tummy done, you had your teeth done, did you have your nose done?
Yep, you want to know what I've had done? You want me to tell you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Please.
Okay, I had a full facelift, which is like an upper and lower facelift, so like brow. Upper and lower eye lift. I mean, where they cut out the extra skin.
Right.
They did a nose job on me also.
Nose job.
The chin, what'd you say?
No, I'm just counting a chin.
Oh, yeah, and then the chin, which was, you know, major, you'll see tonight. Watch it, boys. Don't be cutting the show down and watch it.
All right, we'll watch it. We'll watch it.
Okay, don't worry.
Anyway, we did that, and then tummy tuck and uplift. But, I mean, they did other things for us, like, you know, the teeth, which was fabulous.
Right.
And we had a fabulous trainer, and they took spider veins out of our legs. They did photo facials on our face. And I mean, literally, we were spoiled rotten.
How much time in the gym did you spend?
We spent 4 hours, 4 days a week in the gym for an hour each working with weights. And we spent an hour or two each day on the treadmill.
Now, so about 3 hours a day in the gym.
What was that?
Are you married?
Oh, no, we're all single.
Oh, you're all single.
Oh, that's why we love it. You know, it's wonderful.
Yeah. See how they're getting it done.
Well, we're happily single, though. Don't get us wrong. We're not desperate, believe me.
Darling, another very personal question. Since you've had these changes, have you had the opportunity to be in the company of a man?
Oh, yeah, actually, it's sickening, but yeah, I have a lot more.
And how was...
Hello, people.
how was it the first time with the new you? Did you feel different?
Oh, I feel so great every morning. I wake up and I'm singing, you know, I look so much better. Everything about it is just wonderful.
So it was worth it. I had no idea it was that expensive to get all that stuff done.
Yeah, and it's not. Plastic surgery is a good thing if you do it right, and they did it right. You'll see.
I have read articles about, like, for example, the Botox. Where they say you can't smile, you can't. I mean, can you make like normal facial expressions?
Oh, we didn't get anything like that. Yeah, you could watch us.
You don't look like the Joker or anything.
New and improved Joker product.
We all have little mouths, though, so we said, if you want to just cut the size like the Joker and make our mouths a little bigger, you can do that, too.
All right, so this is the woman, one of the women that's on the show tonight.
8 o'clock.
Her name is Katie Lynn, 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock Central tonight, Extreme Makeover. She gets her big reveal tonight.
And Katie, you're very nice tonight, and it sounds like you're very happy.
Oh, I am very happy. I just want you to watch it. Watch it, guys.
Okay, we will. Although I want to tell you something. You're ruining my night because Tuesday night at 8 in my house, it's 8 Simple Rules night.
Oh, well, you know, you're just going to have to get over that tonight.
And that show is not on tonight because your show is on instead.
Lovely. That's right. We preempted it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you'll have to check her out.
Yes, you did. We'll check you out, honey.
Yeah, check it out.
We'll check you out. All right, baby.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks, Katie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye then. Trying a personality implant.
Wow.
Well, she sounded like...
She was energetic. She was.
She sounded like a cracked out old...
64.
Didn't she sound like an old woman? Like maybe she smokes like maybe 300 cigarettes a day.
She sounded like one of those old ladies from the black and white movies.
Well, I told him. I said, I'll fix you, Peter.
The thing is, you know, she asked whether she could make faces. She never said she could blink.
Anyway... I'll probably turn it on tonight just to see what she looks like.
I'll look at it.
You bet. Spider veins. Veins!
Wow. Her and her two sisters around a pot stirring it.
Boil. That's what it is.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It's me.
He made it up.
Oh, and if that lady from the phone scan is listening, we're giving that lady an iPod. There's a lady from Extreme Makeover. There we're giving her an iPod, too.
What do you think about that, Mary?
And furthermore, Mary, can I tell you something else? We just took one out in the street and just threw it and just broke it.
And that was the one with your name on it.
Broke it into a million pieces. Buzz, what's the lead story on the news and comments today?
Here we go again. Today, President Bush says it was Iran, not Iraq, behind the 9/11 attack.
Oh, God.
Oops. Well, there's the N and then there's the Q.
Yeah, it's confusing.
I'm right. Very. One of them's got like the squiggly little piggly wiggly
tail. That's right, the Q.
That's right, that's the... I'm the super Q.
Hey, get that Republican guy back here.
Okay. Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very...
Well, that was professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Smoother than Bacardi Limon.
Right.
Don and Mike.
Right.
Bacardi Limon.
Time for Buzz's news and comment now. Brought to you by Smoke Break.
This is good smoke.
Smokers. Break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke Break, revolutionary tablet for smokers, available now at fine retailers. Metroplex weather, fair tonight. Sunny tomorrow. Sunny and fair show. North side, south side, everywhere. It's 1,000 degrees. I love me the Grand Funk. And now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi.
This just in.
Okay.
Pop singer Michael Jackson is reportedly about to be the father of quadruplets.
Oh, wow.
Sorry. This you should not do. You should not say he's an animal. He's a... should not say he's Jacko.
I'm having four.
Us Magazine says the mystery mom is in Florida. We don't know how far along she is, but the magazine says that she and Jackson spent some quality time recently at a hotel on Florida's South Beach.
I believe that the more children I have, the less they're likely to convict me.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
What is your name, sir?
Do not call me Janko.
Dee Dee is forever.
I'm so sorry.
I'll ask you again.
I think I may have misunderstood the question you asked me before. I was simply talking about having my four babies. Four brand new babies.
Test tube babies, right?
Little test tube babies.
Kind of. Oh, your name is?
Michael Jackson.
You should not say he's an animal. Should not say he's Jacko. I'm not a Jacko.
He's not a Jacko.
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 If the story's true, he'll have seven kids.
Oh, bye.
Almost forgot what the lead story is now. As he slips in the polls, President Bush says the U.S. is now investigating whether Iran was involved in the 9/11 attacks. Not Iraq, Iran.
Remember, I-R-A-N.
Right.
I-R-A-Q.
Easily confused.
I-R-A-N. Iran.
So far away. Well, the latest channel, how you doing? This is Kobe Carson. Or was it Carvey? It was Carson Kobe.
Either one was fine.
Carson Kobe. Carson Kobe. Send a big hi out to Buzz doing the news right now. How are you doing, Buzz?
I'm great, man.
How about you, Mike? Hey, Five, what's that up in the sky?
What was I supposed to say?
A flock of seagulls.
Oh.
Yes.
Hey, I missed the obvious joke. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Well, stop me if you've heard this before, but President Bush
said... A flock of seagulls!
That would have been great.
That would have been great.
But perfect.
Having quadruplets.
There you go.
The president says Iran is a totalitarian state that shelters terrorists.
Now, hold on. We were playing Iran, of course. Iran, mm-hmm. So far away with a flock of seagulls. Mm-hmm. The serious part of this story is Bush is saying what now?
He's saying, and like I said, stop me if you've heard this before. He says Iran is a totalitarian state that shelters terrorists.
So are we going in there next?
I don't know.
Oh,
he hasn't said yet. But this time the president admits the CIA has not connected Iran and 9/11. But, quoting Bush, we will continue to look and see if the Iranians were involved. The 9/11 Commission report due out Thursday will also link Iran with the attacks.
We will stress the fact that there is a connection
and
eventually dominate the entire world. It will all be mine. I will be going by a new presidential name.
What will your new name be?
President Ming.
And you know, the one thing that Michael Moore says in Fahrenheit 9/11 that I do believe is true is that not only with Bush, but with all of them, the whole country, they do love revving us up into this fear level.
Yeah.
You know, with the color codes. That's one thing that he pointed out that was absolutely true.
Yep. Oh, you have tapped into my strategy.
If you keep the American people afraid.
Right. Just keep them in a state of constant fear
while telling them to go about their business.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. And now don't worry about Iraq. Let's worry about Iran.
Iran. It's Iran. That's what it is. It's Iran.
Iran, not Iran.
Elevate, deflate. Elevate, deflate.
Media reports are already saying that at least eight of the 9/11 hijackers passed through Iran on their way to the U.S.
That's right, and I understand we are going to be taking a hard look at the state of Maine as well.
I've long suspected them.
Yes, we haven't had the CIA connect Maine, but we will be taking care of the vacation land soon.
We're looking at it. Linda Ronstadt has been fired by a Las Vegas casino after speaking out for filmmaker Michael Moore.
Do not drink any alcoholic beverages. Do not eat butter, margarine.
Linda Ronstadt.
Yes.
Baby. Do not eat fried.
I got confused because she was talking about Michael Moore.
Do not eat bananas.
Well, either one. Right.
Fruits other than grapefruit or cantaloupe.
Just before her encore Saturday night at the Aladdin, she praised the movie Fahrenheit 9/11 and its director, who she called a great American patriot and someone who was spreading the truth. The audience went nuts. People booed, and some of them stormed out of the theater. Some of them tore down concert posters and threw their drinks into the air. Ms. Ronstadt was then escorted by security out of the hotel. She wasn't even allowed to return to her suite to get her stuff.
Here is a comment from Linda Ronstadt. This is, I think, from Entertainment Tonight. Linda Ronstadt.
Did you ever suck the jelly out of a jelly donut and then fill it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
Man, and they missed the encore because of that. And it's one of the best in the in show business.
What is it?
She eats three racks of lamb.
Wow. You know, if you think back to the Back in the USA album, where she's wearing the short shorts,
the
she's got
skates.
The roller skates on, and she was just such a POA. And then she did the album of standards, in which her standards were lowered a little bit. And then when she had the Spanish language album.
Started doing like Mexican opera.
When she came out with the bananas on her head.
Right.
And she's got on the big drapey Mexican, I'm going to hide everything. I've got Homer Simpson moo-moo.
Yeah, she was eating a lot of carbs during that era.
I mean, listen, baby.
No performer has ever before been escorted out of a casino. Not for their protection, but because the casino wanted them out.
Wow.
Ronstadt, quoting the head of the casino, spoiled a wonderful evening for our guests, and we had to do something about it. The movie opens this week, by the way, in Waco, Texas, near the president's hometown of Crawford.
We'll
let you know how that goes.
You know, I don't think you have this in the news, Buzz, but I do know, and this, I'm not goofing about this,
right.
That in, speaking of Las Vegas, where we're heard every day on...
It's somewhere, this fine station.
K, I have a list somewhere. It's K.
W-J-F-K.
No, that's not it.
It starts with a W.
Good guess, though.
It starts with a K.
And a V? Doesn't have a V in there?
The Las Vegas?
Yeah.
I think it's got an S in it.
Really?
I think it's got an S. Yeah. It's like K-S-F.
K-S-F-N?
I think so. Maybe.
Sounds right.
Maybe. Anyway. In Las Vegas, I was reading what the casinos want to do now, and who's the guy who's the mayor of
the
Las
mayor?
Vegas?
I have a story about that.
I love this guy. I didn't know you had this in the news today, Buzz.
Yeah, Oscar Goodman is the mayor.
This guy.
Hello.
What he wants to do?
KSFN 11:40 a.m.
Okay, so
it's a good hit, D.
What he wants to do is make prostitution, of course, since it's legal in Las Vegas.
Right.
He sees no reason that every single casino and hotel can have their own strip clubs.
Right.
And, very important, lap dances. Now, this is the mayor of Las Vegas.
Right.
Coming out and saying, the clubs, the casinos, they really need this because people are leaving the hotel to go get a lap dance.
Right. Sure, probably would improve the quality.
So if you're in the Bellagio, why must you leave and get in a cab to go get your lap dance?
I think that's a great idea.
No good reason.
Get it all in Las Vegas.
We must get this Oscar Goodman on the show.
That's fantastic.
They tried a more family-friendly, a family vacation spot approach for the advertising for Las Vegas, and it just didn't work out. So Mayor Goodman, who used to be a lawyer for mobsters, says his opinion, they should have strippers, they should have lap dances, and if, for all he cares, prostitution, legal prostitution on the strip.
Mobsters is an ugly word.
It's a terrible word.
It is an unfortunate word.
There is no mafia. Didn't you hear that tape on The Sopranos?
The only hurdle is the Nevada Gaming Commission, which recently told the Hard Rock Cafe to take down a billboard with a naked woman lying on a blackjack table. So they may meet some resistance
there. It's a vicious stereotype.
Yes.
Oh, and here now is the tape of the mayor of Las Vegas and his message to Linda Ronstadt when he has to call to say, you know, hey, listen, you're fired.
Hello, Linda. This is Mr. Ward Cleaver, father of Brian Beaver Cleaver.
No, it's only funny because he says, hello, Linda.
It's another good one.
Never mind.
Kerry is Bin Laden's man. That's the bumper sticker that was proudly hung in the front window of the Republican County headquarters in Louisville, Kentucky. Kerry is Bin Laden's man. President Bush is mine, it said. And they had more bumper stickers inside for the asking. A Democratic candidate for Congress objected to the sticker, and his Republican opponent agreed. So now the sticker's been removed, at least from the outside of the building.
Yeah, I wonder how that guy would feel, the guy that was in here before, huh?
Ah, that Republican guy, yeah, see?
That guy with the four eyes, huh?
Hey, Don, hey, I brought you some bumper stickers, guy.
Yeah,
hey.
There you go.
How you doing, pal? I tell you what, why don't you come back in 6 months, let's talk about it. And did you notice he did the Clinton thing as he spoke, that thing
the
with
good
the
technique.
Thumb?
Yeah,
that
the fist with the slightly extended thumb.
Yeah, very that is right. Totally Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Clinton didn't have his mouth full of spit when he talked.
Oh, Rob.
Wow.
Robbie was a perfectly fine gentleman.
Very nice.
Republican
he came by.
It will
sway his vote. Let
yeah,
him,
but, hey, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, he's an equal opportunity hater.
See right. you in November.
Know. You know what? He'll vote for Bush no matter what.
Yes, you will.
We'll see.
No, you'll vote for Bush no matter what.
If it makes my household happier.
Yeah. Is that what it'll be?
And how will that make your household happy? Does your wife care? Are you talking about Big Daddy now?
No, not Big Daddy as much as Carrie. Carrie's, you know, women, and now she's thinking politics, so who knows?
She's for the Republicans?
She very right-wing?
No, but she doesn't know, so she's asking questions. I hate when she talks.
Could we start a club?
Yes.
I think we Hold on. Speaking of talking, and Buzz was a witness today.
Right.
I didn't do this for a gag. Buzz had no idea what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
Phone rings. In the office, where Buzz and I have the meeting about the news, mm-hmm. phone rings. Right. I pick it up. Hello? She goes, hi, sweetie. I go, hi, Frida. She said, did you call me? I said, I did not. She said, you didn't call. I said, no. So what's happening? She said, I got to go. Bye. And
he looked at his phone.
I looked at the phone, and I wrote down something on a piece of paper. I said to Buzz, so where were we? And Buzz said, what'd you write down? I said, 14 seconds. With Frida, that is a record.
That's incredible.
I'm going to write that down and wait
down.
Until my best buddy Rob gets here. I actually had a conversation.
A 14-second conversation.
With old Big Mouth that only lasted.
Wow.
Old lovable Big Mouth.
Yes. Lovable Big Mouth.
That only lasted 14 seconds. Can you top
proud.
That? Have you ever had a conversation that short? I mean, keep in mind, I've had shorter ones where it's like me calling and going, hello, please listen to me. And she goes, you know, get bent,
right, Cliff,
your face.
Right, yeah.
That doesn't count.
No.
This was a regular call.
Rob's had a shorter conversation, but they haven't been on the phone. They're more like in person. And what Rob says to start the conversation is, so tell me what you think of that.
Yeah.
I think I could top it, but it would end in gunplay.
Anyway, 14 seconds. Total time. My wife calling me.
Personal best.
Done in 14 seconds.
If I haven't done so yet, let me offer my congratulations.
You can beat it. Give it a try.
Bravo.
Yeah, we're all going to try. Ever since the attacks of 2001, New York police have banned bags at some public events and searched bags at others.
That's not true. I saw Joy Behar tell saw her last
night.
At bag.
But a judge.
Joy Behar. Yuck.
A judge has now ruled that the NYPD won't be allowed to search bags being carried by demonstrators outside the upcoming Republican National Convention.
Mm-hmm.
The judge says it's a violation of their privacy and their free speech if there's no specific threat. The cops say the judge has left an open door to terrorists, and they hope to appeal the ruling. The judge has a history of controversial decisions.
That's what Mr. Behar said the day that she was born. Papa's got a brand new bag.
I'm thinking of bags, and you know, you aced it. You went right to the top with bags.
She's the baggiest.
The bag. I'm sorry, Mr. Behar. You'll have to leave her in the car.
Buzz, we have to break, and when we come back, we have a full segment. For the second segment of news,
uh-huh.
What's the next story?
Fox News sued for not being fair and balanced.
Hey,
go figure there.
That's right.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
They will do you proud every time. Don Geronimo and Michael Mellon.
You are goddamn right. MFing right.
Mm-hmm.
I know we don't use profanity more on the show, but at some point I'd love to discuss MF. I don't know if we can do it anymore in the format that we have now. Exactly why that became such a popular form of anti-endearment. Why
yeah.
it is, if you really want to say to somebody,
it's ugly.
You're the now, do you mean physically that he has
yeah.
done that to your mother?
It can be a term of endearment, too.
Correct. And, Mike, that is why I'm torn on this.
Yeah.
Because you say sometimes, like, you go, hi, you're a crazy MF-er. Mike, you know,
the compliment.
Hey, you're having sex with my mom. You're pretty cool.
Right, yeah, very.
But on the
weird.
Other hand, you're having sex with my mom. That's the worst possible thing I could say to you.
That's right.
And if you go back 40 years, Elvis called the monkey a coconut-headed MF-er. So, I mean, it's been
right.
used for many years.
Anyway, we shouldn't really have this discussion.
No, no, it's probably not.
This is a slippery slope, Mr. Spicoli.
Sorry about that. I'm a dumb ass. We can still say that.
Yeah.
Now, who's been on hold on line number 4? Buzz, give me a second.
Sure.
I noticed his line has been on hold for over 60 minutes.
Wow.
Hello?
hell.
Well, now, I don't hear anybody there, but, no, nobody's hit the delay or anything. Okay. No, the phones are still very much alive.
Hello.
Sounds we're dead.
All right.
No.
Hold on just a second.
Hello.
See, now, that's line five.
Mm-hmm.
I go back to line four. Hello.
Congratulations. This is Max Boy Jr., Jeff Bill Bodine from the Beverly Hillbillies, and you just won the CBS Celebrity Birth Contest.
You sneak him in now.
Got to admit.
Is it once a week? Is that what it's got to be?
No, Jeffro's now once a month.
Once a month?
Once a month on Jeffro.
Okay.
Just once a month.
Watch out. You're making up the rules as you go along here.
Although, really, I got to tell you, that line four, it still is really on hold. I wasn't making that up. There's someone who's just been sitting out there who I guess tonight will be the first caller for the Ron and Fez show.
Very exciting. They're lucky.
Ron and Fez follow us in Baltimore and Tampa Bay and on WJFK. Right. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
So give them a listen tonight.
Yeah.
I tell you what, here's a contest. Give them a listen. You win a prize the first time you hear them mention our show.
Hey, very good.
Okay.
That's a neat thing.
I'm kidding. I'm sure that they promote our show, or at least say that they're on the same. I just never hear it when I listen. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. Fox News, which sued a comedian. Fox News sued a comedian.
I kid because I love
it. I know you do. It's love here.
Fox News sued a comedian for using the phrase fair and balanced. Now Fox is being sued over that phrase. But this time the charge is not copyright infringement. This time the charge is consumer fraud, false advertising.
Ooh.
Yesterday, a nonpartisan group, joined by a liberal group, filed a petition with the Federal Trade Commission. The complaint charges that Fox, quote, deliberately and consistently distorted and twisted to promote the Republican Party and an extreme right-wing viewpoint.
Do you think so?
That's right. The complaint asked the government to make Fox stop using the slogan, fair and balanced, and the complaint includes evidence.
Hey, Sean Hannity. Roaring by the entire field was Mercedes-Benz, which took first place with BMW.
The BMW. Evidence includes a documentary called Outfoxed, which contains internal network memos from Fox News. The memos include the following quotes. You'll enjoy these internal memos
from Fox News. To Fox News employees.
Quotes taken at random from various memos.
Very good.
Here's the first one. The president's political courage and tactical cunning are worth noting in our reporting through the day. End quote.
Wow.
Here's another quote from another memo. The so-called 9/11 Commission. Here's another quote. It won't be long before some people start to decry the use of excessive force. We won't be among that group. End quote.
Now, who are these from? Are these from?
These are from Fox executives to Fox personnel at Fox News.
So it's from programming types,
right?
You know, the essence, in essence, like a program director.
Boy, that's
right.
Just really to think, you know, to think about the whole broadcast journalism thing and what they. It's just interesting to have those memos.
From another memo, this quote: "Real news in Iraq is being obscured by temporary tragedy." End quote. And finally, and this is my favorite. This is my favorite quote from a Fox memo. Do not fall into the trap of mourning the loss of U.S. lives and asking, why are we there?
Oh, God.
Fox policy. Fox News.
And,
fair and balanced.
You know, I was kidding when I said that about listening to Ron and Fez get a prize tonight, but really, watch Channel 5 here in D.C. tonight. I'll give away a prize to anybody that watches the 10 o'clock news and can sit down through the first half hour, and you watch, I'm telling you, on this station, if it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah. Right.
And here's what I'd like. For somebody to actually sit down and watch Fox News tonight, local, Fox 5 at 10 o'clock in D.C., and as the stories come up and as they billboard them, every time there's a story that starts with the same two letters, for instance...
Yes, alliteration.
Child crisis.
Right.
Flash flood.
Thunder terror.
Right.
Are they love, like, they love this one. When even with, it's a K with a C, but it's killer condo crisis.
Yeah, they love those.
They love that kind of stuff. They love
crazed killer.
crazed clown killer.
Right.
You know,
yeah, the more the better.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And last night, you know, I should write this stuff down myself, but it's when I'm going to sleep. They had one that was almost like
jumpy general manager jerks knee.
Yeah, something like Sally sells seashells by the seashore.
Yeah.
And it's all done with like red hot tongues of flame coming down on the condominiums, the crisis, the kids, the counseling, the crashing.
Retarded reporter rejects reality.
Hold on. We got a winner right here. We got a winner. This was on.
Dime.
Jimmy, Yeah. You know what? God, you're going to get a prize. This was last night on Fox 5. Lay it on me.
Kitty car thieves.
Kitty car thieves.
Last night on Channel 5. That's not the best. And tonight in the district, they're at it again. And they got the big logo behind them.
Kitty car thieves.
Kitty car thieves. And also Channel 5.
Gotcha.
If they're doing a story like that, they put a police light on in the background.
Oh, yeah. God.
Gets people's attention. It's bright.
So, yeah. Listen, bright colors.
Jimmy, listen, kitty car thieves. Hold on. You're going to get a prize.
Thanks.
Oh, that lady's going to be pissed off from earlier.
Oh, what are you giving him?
An Apple iPod.
Hello.
An Apple iPod from BMW. Control freaks rejoice. BMW and Apple.
It's bad.
BMW have confirmed, thank you, G. They've created the first seamless integration of iPod and Ride. Go to iPodYourBMW.com. Hey, Jimmy, thank you for listening, my friend.
Thank you, man.
Oh, really, somebody watch Fox tonight and just count all of the stuff that they have, like rancid robbers.
Right.
Lambing on the loose.
Mm-hmm.
Cute card communicator craves cosmetic surgery.
That's for Will.
For Wilma Thomas.
Fox's Bill O'Reilly, meanwhile, also heard on the Westwood One radio network.
Hey, come on, be a team player, Robbie.
Yay!
O'Reilly's been caught in yet another big lie. O'Reilly pushed a boycott of all things France after they didn't support us in a war against Iraq.
Oh, I remember that.
Even Americans now question. So on April 27th, O'Reilly bragged that the boycott had cost the French billions of dollars, according to the Paris Business Review.
Okay.
Two things wrong with that claim.
What?
At best, it was 138 million, not billions. And as it turns out, no such magazine as the Paris Business Review.
That's just a detail,
buddy. Yeah, who cares?
O'Reilly also once claimed winning a Peabody Award when he hosted a tabloid show. The show never got a Peabody Award.
Let him forget that.
Let the man speak for himself.
I smoke marijuana every other day.
That explains.
That is Bill O'Reilly.
Follow me and smoke weed, take pills, drop out of school, kill people and drink.
Bill O'Reilly. Now, these are not made up. These
seems
are really
to be a theme tonight. I mean,
you go right ahead and make out in front of my 3-year-old daughter. Go right ahead and do that.
Well, if you're high.
Okay, well.
I'm gay, so I want, you know, gay marriage so I can do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Screw the establishment. Use drugs. Get a gun. Call women bitches. Hoes. Disrespect everybody. And you'll still do okay.
All right. Finally, listen, Bill. I know it's only July, but what about a Christmas message?
Have a happy abortion for Christmas.
Oh,
Bill.
Wow.
That's the best.
Oh, dear.
Without fail, that's the best.
Explains so much.
It's Christmas in July on the Don and Mike Show. Listen for the ho-ho-ho jingle of Santa Bill O'Reilly. Call in and win an abortion.
Yeah. Have a happy abortion for Christmas.
Oh, thanks, Bill. From your friends at 104.3, The Coyote. Where it's yesterday in Austin.
That's
it's
right.
Today, but you're hearing the yesterday's show.
Yeah, how you doing? We're doing fine today.
Uh-huh. Which you'll hear tomorrow.
Happy Tuesday, Austin. Inspired by the liars at the tobacco companies, one group in Sweden has started lying to kids about the dangers of smoking. They're telling the kids that cigarette filters are full of mouse droppings and
this is good smoke.
And that smoking stunts penis growth. They're telling kids that secondhand smoke kills birds and that girls usually start smoking because they're stupid. Quoting a group spokeswoman, we wanted to raise awareness about how the tobacco industry promotes its products through lies.
Mm-hmm.
Our lies are so exaggerated, we hope they'll make people think and come to our website to find the truth.
This is good smoke.
Don't broadcast that in Sacramento.
The U.S. government, meanwhile, the U.S. is telling kids and everyone else that there may really be such a thing as reefer madness. The madness was proposed in a propaganda film of the 1930s.
But Joe.
I'm getting some interference here, but
I hear that.
Joe.
Hello.
The movie was pure fiction. But now.
What movie?
The Reefer Madness.
Joe.
Smooth, mellow, and easy on the throat.
Now, the U.S. government says pot is a lot stronger than it used to be. That
this is good smoke.
That it's no longer the gentle drug of the 1960s.
Joe,
quoting the head of the White House Office of Drug Control Policy, most people have been led to believe marijuana is a soft drug.
Hello.
But a study shows that it's not
he
even.
You didn't know that? Yeah, well, he's got a lot of time on his hands.
it's not even the gentle drug that it was in the 1980s, with THC potency doubling from 1988 to 2003. an inconclusive study out of Mississippi.
And, you know, ain't that just my luck?
Yeah, I don't like this. Keep moving with this story.
No, no, Mike, no, listen, you know me. I'm past it. Don't worry.
I know you're by, but I mean, I know how you feel.
But ain't it just my luck?
That's right.
But it's not like I gave it up yesterday. I gave it up over 6 years ago. But, you know, just when I get it, okay, so I was arrested, so I had to give it up.
Just
but
like still, when I eventually have to quit drinking, you know, the day after that, they're going to say that it makes your, you know, thing longer.
An inconclusive study out of Mississippi says the new, more potent pot could make teenagers into psychotic killers.
Really? Well, here, we talked to a teen, and here's what a teen had to say. One of today's modern teens.
It just doesn't get any better than this.
Well, his name is Little Sammy.
There's your proof.
There you go. I thought that was Mr. Joy Behar.
Finally. First thing they taught us in journalism, drunk passenger beats up flight attendant, not news. Drunk.
Joy Behar's wife is a bag man.
A bag. And we, Rob and I were talking during the break, when you use that as the bag, that's the definitive bag.
Yeah, Joy Behar is
you look up bag in the dictionary, there's the picture.
Joy Behar.
Finally, the first thing they taught us in journalism, drunk passenger beats up flight attendant, not news. Drunk flight attendant beats up passenger, news.
Because it was drunk passenger.
How you doing?
Yeah, in this case, drunk flight attendant. On Russia's top airline, Aeroflot, some passenger had the nerve to complain about the drunken flight attendants. He complained that the crew didn't even start attending to the passengers until an hour and a half into the four-hour flight. The flight attendants didn't like that complaint, so they beat up the guy.
2 teams? Can we lie? Can we fill in 15?
Another.
No, sorry. All right. I don't even remember what it was.
Can you forgive me? I have those names of Frida Drone.
I got hiccups.
Another passenger's been quoted.
Biggest drunks in history.
Try the Marriott burger.
I got hiccups.
Another passenger's been quoted as saying that half the food served wound up on the floor of the airliner and that they had to wade through all that to get off the plane.
Oh, my.
George Michael.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. No. Yep,
no.
We gotta go. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye. Well, let's see. Thank you to Jim Parmalee. From the Republican Party.
Yes, Jim came in and you had to give him the bad news.
Yep. Don't let the screen door hit you on the way out, sir. Also, thanks to Gary Arnold, the guy that has the restaurant in Sacramento that we never gave the name of, that where bald guys eat for free.
Yeah, where's that located?
Sacramento.
Oh, very good.
And, no, I'm not going to say it. Katie Lenz. Stream makeover tonight, 8 o'clock, 7 Central.
Give it up for Len.
And that would be on the ABC network. Tomorrow, the people from The Amazing Race. Also, Jomo's, that's it. Good day to you, sir.
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 You.
Have you seen my Peabody Award?
It's right here. By our giant stack of pennies. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Lick the stamp.
And now, that light going off means what? That light?
The mystery phone is ringing. The phone that doesn't exist.
This place is so crazy. There's a phone. Do you see that light going on, Mike?
Yeah.
Now look behind your shoulder. The big light, the big white light, it'll go and say phone.
Yeah.
Okay. There is no phone. The phone that's ringing,
there used to be.
They took out of the studio.
It doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. Well, now it's stopped.
Oh, there it goes.
No, it didn't go.
That's just the spots.
Okay. Let's see.
Bye-bye.
Eat a lot.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.